Did you come expecting great things from Jesus tonight? Amen. Why don't you turn around to a few people and just say welcome, and we'll get started worshiping the Lord together. Aren't you glad that our Savior is alive? He's risen.
Risen, He's risen, forever glorified. Risen, He's risen, King Jesus is alive.
Jesus be lifted. would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
The sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me.
The sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. My Father's house, there's a place for.
Say I. that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace to live and breathe, to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power overflow. By your grace to live and breathe, to worship you.
You have overcome. Hallelujah.
And you may be seated. Charleston Church, will you welcome all of our visitors tonight? We're so glad you came. We're so glad you're in the house tonight. If you're here, we would love for you to fill out visitors. I was looking for the what it says, but I... A visitor's thing. Our connection card. If you would just take that, it's in the seat in front of you. Fill it out and put it in the offering. Everybody needs a good church. Everybody needs a spirit-filled church. Amen? So if you're here, we're glad that you're in the house, and we want to get connected to you. I am so excited to be able to introduce you to Adalys Shuttlesworth. She's going to come up. And, you know, last year, we were at a service. Come on up, honey. Yes, yes. We were at a service in Massachusetts where they were speaking. And she got up and just testified. I'll just be honest. It was just a testimony. And as she did that, like, it was my spirit went, you know, there was just something anointed about that. And I thought to myself, I'd love to have her at a conference. And then my husband said, I'm going to have Jonathan come speak such and such dates. And I said, can we change the women's conference and have her? So ladies, I'm telling you, you are going to enjoy this weekend. It's Friday night and Saturday. And I just wanted her to share a word with you tonight and just invite you to come.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here. You don't have to clap. It's not necessary. It is a pleasure to be here. I want to share one scripture with all of the ladies. Listen, I am so excited. I've been praying and fasting for this event, and I'm so excited for what's about to transpire with the ladies. Listen, every woman here, if you've come for this ministry, to this women's event, to cry and sling snot and pass around tissue, you ought to just stay home. Because I am sick and tired. Listen, one of the few times I ever went to a woman's fellowship, I came home and I told my husband, never again. I don't want to be that woman who's weak and is beat up by this life. And I'm in the ministry and I'm just barely getting by. I said, don't you ever send me to one of those things again. So I want to share you Matthew 11:12. real quick. And it says, and from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. That's our scripture verse for the week, ladies. I'm a violent person. I like guns. And so this resonates with me. It really does. It resonates with me because as a woman in America, we've had too many failure. We've had too much brokenness in our homes. There's been too much, you know, the battle continues. You know how many times I've read on Facebook, hashtag the struggle continues or, you know, life is rough or whatever. It is time that the women understood what lies within them, the power that lies on the inside of every individual, not just women, but I'm preaching to the women, so you just, you know. So it's for you. So if you haven't made up your mind to come, I'm inviting you, come. Make it out. It's going to be a time where there's going to be a fresh word from the Lord, and you're going to leave empowered and ready to fight. Amen? Yeah. I love you.
Amen. Amen. So ladies, if you haven't signed up, sign up in C Church 11A. I just am expecting this weekend, I'll be honest, to be our best weekend. I believe women are going to go home and their families are going to be changed. Their house is going to be changed. Their job won't be the same because they're going to leave different. Amen? Amen. Will the choir come up? We're going to just worship with them tonight. The video. Okay, we're going to show the video as they're coming up.
I am strong.
I am a grandmother.
I am enough.
I am loved.
I am cancer-free.
I am brave.
I am set free from drug addiction.
I'm blessed. Very blessed.
I am my dad's favorite.
I am called.
I am a mom.
I am forgiven.
I am chosen.
I am woman.
Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, guys. Hallelujah. You gotta do better. Hallelujah. My spirit is so stirred. I'm so excited for the anointing that I'm finding in this place. Who can testify with me? We've been praying, we've been fasting, we've been calling on the name of Jesus. The song that we're about to sing is about that. It's calling in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful. Jesus understands our prayer. Jesus is so near us. Amen. I mean, I'm going to stir your faith because I need you guys to come with me in this faith. Hallelujah!
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 There is a power in your mouth. When you speak, things move. You have power of death and life in your mouth. That's why it says, speak the name of Jesus. So when you speak out, things change in the spirit. Who can testify with me with that?
Amen.
So I'm inviting you to sing with us. This is a powerful name. It speaks about the testimony of who God is. He's a provider. If you have seen Jesus provide in your name, don't sit, stand and testify. If you have seen him healed in your family, don't sit down. Don't look left or right. Say, I know that name. I have called it and it has answered on me. If you are new and you have no idea what I'm speaking about, let me tell you about the name of Jesus. He has died for you. His blood is here to wash your sin. He has welcomed you in the throne room of God, where the Creator has made a life different from what you think here. There's so much more in him. So if you think that you haven't heard of him, let me give you a moment to just think and make a decision to make him your Lord. So as we sing and it resonates in your spirit, don't be ashamed. Don't feel like shy, like I can't stand up. It's a kind of like a choir thing. No, stand up and testify to the name, because we worship a living God and he's here among us. May you be blessed.
The
atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim.
Raise it up, fill the sky. Chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Speak the name above all other names. Speak the name the winds and waves obey. All of heaven's coming down, fill the earth with the sound of the name.
Hostages of shame, miracles unfolding at the mention of the name.
Abundance is fleeing, mercy raining down, healing waters flowing as our lips make the sound.
Raise it up.
Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain. To break every chain. Break.
Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. And let's give God the greatest hand clap of praise. Honor Him. Magnify Him. He is all those things. And there some of us know that He's also our baptizer. He's the one that gives us power that exceeds all human power. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. All that you could ever achieve in your natural ability will never compare to what God can achieve through you tonight. Would you just begin to pray now in Jesus' name that He would fill you with that power? Would you? Maybe for the first time, maybe it's been too long, but begin to pray. Help me pray, choir. In the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight, Father. You said no one could come to you by any other name, but at that name we come. We come expecting. Give us supernatural power. You knew what would ail the human race. That's why you provided the empowerment, the overflowing, the rivers, the well, the downpour of your presence into our lives. And God, tonight we are ready. Amen. We can say this, we're open. Come on, somebody shout it, I'm open. I'm open, I'm open, I'm open in Jesus' name. If you believe He hears prayers and answers it, thank Him right now with your words. Begin to thank God. I thank you for your generosity to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Help me honor and thank the combined choir of Charleston Church and Faith Bible College International. Thank you. You can be seated. You can be seated. If you're not aware of the fact, less than 1 mile in this great city from this building is one of North America's premier Pentecostal Bible colleges under the guise of Faith Bible College International. Just up the road, if you have not been to that campus, it's probably because you've not driven any further than this. And if you drove here from the south, there really is nothing else to go beyond here for except woods and swamp. But if you haven't, you do yourself justice. There's a beautiful campus just up the road here. And starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Faith Bible College International invites all of Charleston Church, everybody that's watching online, to join us for a series of revival meetings with Jonathan Shuttlesworth in our chapel. Now, students, remember, I've given you reserved seating, preferred seating. It came with the cost of your tuition. And those of you that haven't paid yet, you sit outside all service, all right? No, I'm just teasing, sort of. I want you to be there. But we've got those first rows for the students, staff, and faculty, and we're going to have a great time. But honestly, everybody come. Let's pack that place out. And how many want more of God at the end of 2018 than you started with? How many? Just raise your hand. Say, that's me. I want more than I started with. We'll find out tomorrow night. We'll find out tomorrow night. You are more than welcome. Come and experience what God is doing, something phenomenal at Faith Bible College International, which I think is absolutely hilarious. The whitest town in the whitest state, in the oldest state, in the least Christian state in the United States, has a global Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, fire-breathing Bible college just up the road here in this little town. Isn't it neat how God does things? Isn't it neat? God's doing some great things. We're so grateful for that. I think the Grace Connection Church is with us again tonight from Sullivan, Maine. Are you here? Stand. Stand. We want to see, you just, we don't get to see enough Downeasters here. Is Sherry in that group? Is Sherry in the group? Stand up, Sherry. Daryl Dyer told me this morning he saw you, and he said you came for service last Sunday night. You were prayed for. You had pain in your foot for both of your feet. Wow. You had two flat tires. And you came for prayer, and she said all that pain, after 15 years, all that pain was gone. Oh, you got it in your seat. You weren't in line, but your faith reached through the crowd and touched Jesus, just like the woman with the issue did. That's what you did. And your feet are good. You're standing. You're happy. It's been a week. No pain. Can you dance? You can? That's awesome. Well, you're in the right church. God bless you. Love you, folks, from Grace Connection Church there in Sullivan, Maine. Come on, give a warm welcome to Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth tonight. Let's prepare to receive the Word of God.
One more time, give Jesus a great hand clap all over the church. Praise the Lord. When I was walking my daughter to the vehicle after this morning service, she said, "You preach great today." So I never really believe people when they say that, so I said to her, "What did you like about it?" She went, "I liked the part when you talked about the scriptures." That sounds like a pretty generic answer. That sounds like somebody that just wanted some candy, to be honest with you. Won't you, if you have your Bibles, open it with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, verse 8. While you're turning to Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, I'm actually going to start at verse 1, because while I was waiting for you, I was just looking up above it, and those ones are pretty good too. Deuteronomy 11, 1. This is what the Bible says. You must love the Lord your God and obey all his requirements, decrees, regulations, and commands. Keep in mind that I'm not talking now to your children who have never experienced the discipline of the Lord your God or seen his greatness and his strong hand and powerful arm. They didn't see the miraculous signs and wonders he performed in Egypt against Pharaoh and all his land. They didn't see what the Lord did to the armies of Egypt, to their horses and chariots, how he drowned them in the Red Sea as they were chasing you. He destroyed them, and they have not recovered to this very day. Your children didn't see how the Lord cared for you in the wilderness until you arrived here. He's talking about their children. They didn't see what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and descendants of Reuben, when the earth opened its mouth in the Israelite camp and swallowed them, along with their households and tents and every living thing that belonged to them. But you have seen the Lord perform all these mighty deeds with your own eyes. Verse 8. Therefore, be careful to obey every command I'm giving you today, so that you may have strength. Everybody say strength. Strength for what? To go in and take over the land that you're about to enter. If you obey, you will enjoy a long life. Everybody say long life. In the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to you, their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land you are about to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you planted your seed and made irrigation ditches with your foot, as in a vegetable garden. What he's referring to is the Egyptians wouldn't allow the Israelites to have anything even to work in their garden with, because a spade or whatever could be sharpened and used as a weapon, so they actually had to dig with their feet and irrigate that way. And God was saying, the land that I'm taking you to is not like the land from which you came. Then he's going to tell them what the land's like, and we're going to read it. But that's God, what he's telling the Israelites here is essentially what keeps people having problems today, is they get saved and they think basically life is going to be like it was before they were saved, except now they're going to heaven, or now they can ask for prayer or something like that. God's saying the land I'm taking you to is not like the land that you came from. Can you say amen? So people, you know, people love to rehearse how hard they had it. And like he was telling them there, I know how hard you had it. But just so you know, I'm not taking you to a place where you have to dig ditches with your foot. I'm actually going to take you to a place where the land is dripping with milk and honey, where you'll collect things that you didn't even plant. Can you say amen? And so he said, "It's rather the land, verse 11, you will soon take over, is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain, a land the Lord your God cares for. He watches over it through each season of the year. If you carefully obey all the commands of the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send rain in their proper seasons, the early and the latter rain, so that you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all you want to eat, or you yourselves will eat in plenty. 16. But be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He'll shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. Then you will quickly die in that good land the Lord has given you. 18. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that it would be as it were, I'm going to switch to the King James, 21, so that it would be as it were days of heaven on the earth, that you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, that it would be as it were. In other words, God said, if you do what I'm telling you to do, it'll be as it were days of heaven on earth. Everybody say days of heaven on the earth. And then he tells you specifically what that is, that you and your children may flourish. Say, me and my children will flourish in this land. Now, if the Christians don't take a hold of that, then evil people flourish. Somebody's going to flourish. You're either going to have people on your school board writing the curriculum that hate you, hate your God, and hate your children, or you're going to have a new generation of believers that get it in their spirit that we're not to be dominated. God's actually anointed us to go in and take the land. Can you say amen? You know, and he was talking to people that their children didn't know what God was talking about because they hadn't experienced God's power. But some of the older folks that are here, I was talking to Sky Burrell in the parking lot, who told me he's 76 now. And I know what his background was like. I know he lived in a single room cabin with a wood burning stove. And then my grandmother that just turned 92 from Pennsylvania, so it doesn't matter whether it's Maine or Pennsylvania, people grew up rough. Basically, the United States was like a squatter camp. You know, people had spread out all through this new land. They were, a lot of people, dirt poor, ate here and there whatever they could find, dandelion salad and all that. And my generation doesn't know that because we've grown up, something hit this country that where God revived this nation. You know, in 1910, 1890, that's not that long ago actually, America wasn't different from any other nation. It was an agrarian land. People had a hard time. And then when revival hit America, Billy Sunday and Billy Graham and all these great meetings, it actually produced a nation that's the shining light of planet Earth. What brought that? What brought that was the Word of God getting inside of people and turning them into people that didn't need to be beaten and arrested. They were people that understood. They policed themselves. You know, T.L. Osborne met with the Ukrainian government because they were getting ready to throw a pastor out of there. And they wanted to know, why should we keep the church in the Ukraine? T.L. Osborne said, by the wisdom of God, to that leader and turned him around. He said, without God, all the government can do is pass laws to punish people when they do wrong. Only Jesus can put laws in people that make them want to do right. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Amen. And so, hey, that's good. That kid will be Pentecostal his whole life, whether he wants to or not. And so, the Bible says God was letting them know, if you do what I tell you to do, I'm not going to make your life miserable. I'm not going to cause you to miss out. You know, when you'd go to youth camp when I was growing up, that's basically what all the youth camp messages were. You know, I used to play football. I had a Division I scholarship. I was bound for the NFL. I had girlfriends. I had money. Then I got saved. After I got saved, I don't have a girlfriend or a wife. I lost my scholarship. I drive around in a car held together by Christian bumper stickers. And one day it'll all be worth it when I get to heaven. But God didn't tell them, if you do what I tell you to do, it'll be worth it one day when you get to heaven. He said, if you hearken unto my words and teach them to your children and fully obey and serve me with all your heart, I will make it, as it were, days of heaven on the earth for you. And I want you to get that tonight, because I'm not preaching this to anybody. I'm preaching it to the people that left church at 1:15, 8, sat down for about 25 minutes, got right back up and came back to church. You're unusual people. That's the opposite of America in any study that you read. So we actually have a room full of people tonight that are not casual Christians. I mean, this couple sitting here is in the third row. They're from Sussex, New Brunswick. Where's the couple from Massachusetts? I saw you there, back corner. Don't be slow to put your hand up. It's not a KGB meeting where we're going to have you arrested. They were going to leave this afternoon and actually bought a hotel room for another night to stay, and I think they have to be at work in the morning down in Massachusetts. And then you see all these great Bible school students and that choir. You don't know how much that touched my heart, not just to listen to the praise and worship that has an anointing on it, almost all by young people. Then you see a young choir that's not singing like some kind of new quasi-Christian music, singing anointed music in an anointed church. We have the setup this week for God to visit you and your life never be the same. And listen, I don't mean like it's a little, I guess our life's kind of not the same. I'm talking like the Bible says, like it'll be a dream of the night where what you used to have to struggle for and fight for, instead of you trying to keep your head above water, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life. Can you say amen? Can you say better amen? You know another thing I love from that scripture? God was saying, if you teach this to your children, they're not going to have it the way that you had it. And people think that's how it is. In fact, many of us grew up in homes. I say us to be kind. I didn't. I have two great parents sitting on the front row. But not everybody had that. I found that out one day when I was walking out of my hotel in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I was actually felt it laid on my heart to speak about the power of your confession and how you fill your heart with the Word of God. But the Word of God's not supposed to stay in your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, I took a lot of things for granted growing up, having a Holy Ghost mother and a Holy Ghost father that we talked a certain way. I don't mean just not cursing. I mean, I'm talking like we talked about the blessing of God. I never, one time in 18 years being home, and when I returned after college, and now up until 37 years, I never one time had my mother or father tell me, I know you feel you're called into the ministry, and I know you have a lot of dreams about what you're going to do, but you're going to see it's a lot harder than you think it. I never one time. My dad would write in every one of my Bibles that he gave me the same scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a vessel of honor, set apart for a special work, and fit for the master's use. My dad would tell me, son, keep living for the Lord and God will use you. Where I am right now, it won't take you that long to get there. But when I was walking out of that hotel, I realized not everybody had that. Because here I am looking at my notes about confession. And as I'm walking out, this door opens to the one hotel room. And a grandfather, which I found this out, they all ended up in the elevator with me. No matter how fast I hit the closed door button, they still made it in before I could get there. It's always awkward when you're in an elevator. You're like, shut, shut. And then they get in and you're like, okay, no, I'm cool with it. So as the door opens up, the grandfather has his father, his son, and his grandson in there, and he yells back in, man, you're going to see if every year you get, your body gets sore and weaker. I never heard that one time growing up. We used to talk about healing, but you're going to find people say one thing or the opposite. Actually, there's no middle ground. You're either going to run a household where you speak fear and defeat, and, you know, repeat what your mother did to you, where your nine-year-old's having a good day playing, and you say, what are you laughing about? One day it's going to be you having to heat the house. You're going to see life's not so funny. So when people don't have the Holy Ghost and the power of God's Word in them, they actually start to proclaim defeat and hardship over their own children. But I'm going to tell you, after tonight, God's going to put something in you where you're going to do what God said in Deuteronomy 11, where instead of telling your kid, wait till you get older, you're going to see how hard life is. You're going to say, you are blessed of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And as you serve the Lord, God's going to take you into a good land that's flowing with milk and honey. You're going to do great things for God, and the Lord will use you. Come on, if that sounds like you, put those hands together and let God know that that's why you're here tonight. In Jesus' name. So things don't work automatically. I raised my kid in church. First of all, no, you didn't. You took him about two Sundays a month, and then you never touched it again. And then they heard everything else. You can't go to church for 3 hours, and then the other 165 hours, be it public school or wherever else, hearing the opposite, and then wonder why somebody turns out away. That's why God didn't tell them, make sure to be faithful to the synagogue. He said, or my temple. He said, talk about it when you're at home. Talk about my word. Instruct your children. And he said, if you do that, your children will know what it's like to have days of heaven on the earth. If there was ever an hour where that needed to happen, it's now. The last time I checked, the teenage suicide rate had tripled, and then I know it's gone up from there. You have 5 or 6 million people that are children in this country that are on psychiatric medication. Antidepressants, anxiety medication, panic attack, one-year-olds, two-year-olds, where the pharmaceutical companies are just enslaving an entire generation of people. Every one of these school shooters that they find, it's the link that they have. They were on drugs from the time they were little because the devil got the father out of the house, mother under pressure, and so it just keeps going. That's what revival does. We're going to break that sucker's neck this week. And whatever's worked in your house up until now, it's going to get overwhelmed by the blessing of Almighty God. I've told this story before. When I'm not preaching, I like to go to baseball games if the Pittsburgh Pirates are in town, because their stadium is right on the river. It's like beautiful because the team's terrible. So that's the only way they get people to come. They built one of the top two baseball stadiums in the country, PNC Park. So I went. This was back in 2014. I had preached a lot. I'd been out like 70 straight days, something like that. So when I came home, I got a ticket and got one for my brother-in-law. And we went. I went an hour early, got all my food, and sat down, so I was there plenty early. And before the national anthem, they said, we'd like everybody to stand to their feet. We're going to do a presentation. Well, I didn't know what the presentation was, so I stayed seated. I basically have just gotten the habit of whatever the world does, just do the opposite. And if you get in the habit of doing that, you end up in heaven. Amen. So anyway, I stayed seated. They said, tonight is Stand Up to Cancer Night. Okay, that's fine. You do whatever you want. And the PA announcer said, underneath your seat is a card that says Stand Up to Cancer, and there's a name blank with a pen taped to the card, or a space blank. Write the name of somebody you know that's been affected by cancer. And so everybody did. I didn't, because God has kept our family very healthy. Now, you might think I got lucky because I'm only 37, which would still be a long time to be lucky. But my dad's too old to be lucky. He turned 60 next month, 6-0. And he's never been out of the pulpit one time for sickness or disease, and does not keep a light travel schedule, and does not confine himself only to places that have a high health index report from the United Nations. Just got back from the Middle East. So these things work. When God said, I'll make it, as it were, days of heaven on the earth, God's not a joker. He said what he meant, and he keeps what he said, if you believe it. So anyway, the world's welcome to do what they want. I didn't rebuke them or anything. But then it crossed the line where they said, write the name, hold up the sign, and everyone declare this. Said it from the PA system. Everyone say this. Either me or someone I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. Well, you know what the Bible says? Death and life are in the power of what? The tongue. And so when I heard that, I know it was my spirit that got angry, because I was very tired in my flesh. I mean, if you'd have shoved me, I probably wouldn't have had enough energy to defend myself. I just said, sorry for being in the way of your two hands there. Please forgive me. But when they had told everybody to repeat that, I actually held out hope for humanity. I thought, well, surely people aren't going to be that dumb to let that come out of their mouth. But people can be very interesting. You stand up and tell people to say that they're all going to get cancer, and everybody repeats it. Then you stand up at some places, like I've done for 16 years, and tell people that God wants you blessed, God loves you, God's going to help you, and they storm out. Holding a Bible that's big enough to choke a moose. You have to put two hands on it, zip it, have someone help you zip it. So sure enough, everybody holds up their cards. Either like a chorus from hell. Either me or someone I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. When I heard that, I thought, well, here's how the devil works, isn't it? You know, Jesus said the gospel in one verse, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, I have a question. If Satan wants everybody stolen from, killed, and destroyed, how come all of us aren't stolen from, killed, and destroyed? And if God wants everybody to have life abundantly, and he said, I'm willing that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, then how come everybody's not saved? Because the devil has a will, and God has a will, and you choose which one you're going to participate with. So then you ask the question, how do you find out which one you're going to participate with? How do you get saved? If you will believe in your heart, and what's the second thing you have to do? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. So as much as God wants you to be saved, it doesn't work until you believe the word of God, and you can't keep it inside. You have to publicly confess it with your mouth. And I'll tell you on the flip side, just like the man in the hotel room, passing that demonic doctrine down. If your grandpa can't get you, then they'll get you at the baseball game. So people believe a lie and speak the lie out because they don't know the word of God. What was God telling them in Deuteronomy 11? He said, you know what I did for you in Egypt, but don't keep it to yourself. Begin to teach your children. Talk about what I did. Tell them the great testimonies of how I brought you out with my strong right arm and get them talking about it, and it'll lead you to days of heaven on the earth. When I heard everybody say that, you know, you think, who's the public address operator? Lucifer? To have everybody stand up and, you know, people don't know the word. They don't have any fortitude. They just do what they're told. But when you have the word of God in you, that's one of the things that when I started reading my Bible as a little boy, that's the number one benefit that I noticed, is anytime somebody says something that's absolute horse manure, it's like an alarm goes off in your spirit. No, not me. The word of God says this, and you would be amazed at how powerful the word of God is. A demon didn't come to Jesus in the wilderness. Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness. When Satan said something to him, Jesus replied, "It is written," and quoted the scripture. Satan never argued, changed the subject. Subject 2, it is written. Subject 3, it is written. And Satan went, okay, well, those are my 3 best. So I'll be back. I'm going to get some more. Never argues with what's written. And so when they said that and everybody repeated it, it fired my spirit up so badly that when they sat down, I stood up. I said, not me. Everybody yell, not me. And that's what I believe God's going to do for you tonight, is it gets a not me mentality on the inside of you. That I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I am, the seed of God is on the inside of me, and what happens for other people is not what happens for me. I am born again, I'm redeemed, the hand of God is on me and my family, and others may die, but I shall live and flourish just like the Bible says. I stood up and said, not me, and I mean loud. So everybody's head shoots around, you know. I said, neither me nor anybody I know will have cancer in my lifetime. And sat back down still angry. Well, this white bearded guy sitting next to me in his early 60s, he was already on his second beer before first pitch. When I sat back down, he went, what was that you said? And I looked at him. I said, not me. I'm not going to have cancer. Neither is anybody in my family. And I said it out loud. He furrowed his eyebrow up. I like your way better. Stood up with his beard and went, me too. Hey, I got one drunk turned around in Pittsburgh. I'm looking to get a few hundred sober people turned around tonight in Charleston, Maine. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. I am redeemed from all the curse of the law. My children are going to turn out differently. My marriage is not up for grabs. I am blessed in Jesus' name. Come on, if that sounds like you, put those anointed hands together and give God one more. Go ahead. Take 30 good seconds. Announce to the devil that he doesn't have free reign over you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, you get what you say. You get what you say. This might end up on YouTube with somebody ripping me to shreds, but there's already enough videos, so I'm kind of used to it. Starting to enjoy it. My dad and I were eating today with my mother and my wife and Camila at Angler's Restaurant. And Ozzy Osbourne's song came on the overhead. I'm going off the rails on a crazy train. You know, he didn't look like he did now when he was singing that. He functioned right, body worked right. And what's the confession on the song? Going off my rails on a crazy train. Sung it one too many times. Then I listened to the lyric. It actually struck me in my spirit. I listened to preachers. I listened to fools. Preachers and fools. Keep talking. People give themselves more problem with their tongue than the devil could ever hope to give them. There's going to be people that stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and say, the devil, God, I'd have done more, but the devil. And the devil's going to say, can I say something, please? Normally I lie. But you can check your records. I was in Syria the entire time she was alive. And the Lord's going to say, he was right. He never troubled you one time. What happened? People started to fill your spirit that either you or somebody you know is going to get affected by cancer. I mean, you don't have to go to a baseball game or have a grandfather saying that. Just keep your TV on. every commercial that comes on. Are you going to the bathroom more than you used to? First of all, none of your business. It could be the sign of an enlarged prostate. 2 out of 1 men will have prostate cancer. That's right. That's why I don't turn my TV on much. One time I hit it with my own shoe. I thought, you know what? Rather than do damage to my own property, maybe I'll just keep it off. I got sick of hearing that. Are you a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man? 80% of people that have skin... Shut up. Because most people lack the necessary spiritual violence to resist what the devil says you're going to have. You can't just keep going, I hope that... No, there has to be a fire in you. Even if you're in Bible college, you're going to have... I'm sure they don't do it here because you have a good president in your Bible school. But we'd have chapel speakers coming left and right. I know you kids are excited. You feel called into the ministry. Might as well have been smoking a cigarette the way they talk. I know you kids are excited. I remember when I was your age. They weren't even old. I remember when I was your age and I was excited about the ministry. But I'm 26 now. I mean, unbelief will start you make missing teeth before you're 30. Now you're going to find out when you get out there. What am I going to find out? You know what I found out? I found out that Deuteronomy 11, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, that a Jew is not one that's outward circumcised, but one that's been circumcised of the heart. The Bible says in Galatians 4:28, we are all children of the promise like Isaac. The Bible says in Galatians 3 about 5 different times that all who put their faith in Abraham, faith in Jesus, share the same blessing Abraham had because of his faith. So you have to pick what side you're going to be on. Are you going to be on the failure and struggle side? Well, then you also have to make up your mind whether you're going to be on the life's up for grab side. How many know life has ups and downs? How many know life has mountains and valleys? What scripture is that? I know it's on K-Love Radio, but show me in the Bible. Where does the Bible say that life is full of mountains and valleys? Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs, the 4th chapter. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great week. I know 8 of you agree with me, but I'm telling you anyway, it's going to be a great week. I'm looking forward to seeing what that chapel looks like. Hope you'll investigate it with me and come there. That place should be jammed tomorrow night with people from all age groups. I don't care if you're 80 years old. Doesn't make a bit of difference. If God was finished with you, we would have already had a potluck dinner and memorial service. The fact that you're still breathing oxygen is all the proof you need that God's not... Somebody say, God's not finished with me yet. Somebody say, the best is yet to come. Show me somewhere in the Bible where the Lord appeared and an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, Gideon, shut it down. Stop moving forward. For I, the Lord, am finished with thee. No. Anytime the Lord appeared to somebody, he told him to get up. I'm going to show you what I have for you to do, for the task ahead of you is great. And then he told him about the power that he would give them to get them done. Lift both hands all over the sanctuary and just begin to thank God that from tonight, a fresh anointing is coming on your life. That whatever season of life that you're in right now, you're moving in. This is it, man. This is not the last days. This is the final minutes of the last days. So think about it. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back in 3 years. I'm not sure we have 3 years. So if there's only 3 years left, what difference does it make if you're 80 or 18? You have 3 years. So there should be something in your spirit that whatever I feel I'm to do on this planet, not only am I going to get it done, I'm going to access the endowment of power from heaven and do in the strength of God what I can never do in my own strength. With your hands lifted, just take 15 seconds and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, worship God in the Spirit, and let that fresh endowment of power come on you to fulfill the task that God gave you in Jesus' name. Go ahead, you can go above 10 decibels. We won't get angry here. Thank him in the spirit. Worship him in the spirit. As you do, you build your own spirit, man, to get it done. Somebody shout hallelujah. And with those hands lifted, just begin to thank God out of your mouth that the power of God's coming on you right now. That you didn't come back on Sunday night to hear a light version of the Sunday morning service. You came to get a double portion of God's Spirit to do this week what you've never been able to do your whole life. There it is. In Jesus' mighty name. You'll never be the same from tonight. The anointing of God is increasing. God is a God of increase. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. God's not looking to take you backwards. God's not looking to bring you out to a dry season. God's looking to take you from glory to glory, from victory to victory, and from strength to strength, whether the devil likes it or not. Somebody shout amen like thunder. You know, just to get this out of the way, for all the people that blame the devil, the one thing, more than anything, that the devil doesn't want is for somebody to get saved. So when you went to walk to the altar this morning, or whenever you did, how come the devil couldn't stop you? How come when you made up your mind and stepped out of the seat, sure you felt resistance when they said lift your hand? You can lift your hand for anything, but you got to lift your hand for that. No, you don't lunch. Lunch pot roast is in the thing. It's going to burn. No. But you did it anyway. And then when they said come up to the altar, you felt... No. But when you broke through that, how come there was no visible red being with a tail?
No.
You know what that shows you? If you make up your, I'm going to that altar. I'm receiving Jesus Christ and nothing could stop you. If Satan couldn't stop you doing that, why would you think he could stop you doing anything else? The same boldness and the same power and the same tenacity and the same determination that got you out of the crown into the altar, that comes alive in you again tonight, that I'm going to finish well. I'm not going to finish down. I'm going to finish on top in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you're with me tonight, put those hands together again and give Jesus a mighty, mighty hand clap. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4. Verse 10, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you'll live a long, there it is again. Say it with me. Say, my life isn't up for grabs. You know, the devil doesn't get to pick when you die. I grew up hearing that. Not from my father, obviously. My dad was on the road, but from other people in other places that will remain nameless. How many of you know we could die at any time? How many of you know none of us know when we're going to go? I don't know when I'm going, but I know it's not anytime soon. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. No plague will come near your dwelling, for I order my angels to protect you wherever you go. I could pass the microphone to my father, and he could keep us here till about 11 p.m. just telling stories from his own life. If these things were fake, I would have no dad and my mother would be a widow several times over. Driving home from New York, man's trying to run my dad off the road. Finally, my dad pulls over because he's had enough. Figure out what the problem is. How late was it when it happened, roughly? Middle of the night when the guy pulled you over, they thought you were the drug dealer. 2 or 3 in the morning. Devil's favorite time. You ever hear people, I get woken up every night. What time? 2:20? How'd you know? I don't know. It seems between 2 and 3. That's like union working hours in hell. So my dad gets out of the car and I ask him what the problem is. And the guy already has a gun drawn on my father. You killed my son. You killed my son. Now I'm going to kill you. There's no class on that in Bible school. No, kids, today before we go home for the weekend, just going to deal with what happens when someone thinks you killed their son and they're going to kill you. I said, what are you talking about? And the word of the Lord came to him. You better get a word of the Lord quick. Very strange word. Look at my license plate. Now that is not something to tell someone that diffuses their murderous appetite. Look at my license plate. The man looks over at the license plate and drops the gun down to his hip and starts crying. Because my dad drove a windowless van. He'd carry his own sound equipment. Go through New York City all the time, and if you've got windows in your vehicle and you have a few thousand dollars worth of sound equipment, you're not going to have it very long. And so he drove this windowless van that was the exact van that a drug dealer drove through there that sold his son a bad batch of drugs, and he overdosed and died. So when that guy saw my dad's van, He thought it was him and was coming to kill him. And when my dad gave him that word from the Lord, he looked at the license plate, and my dad had a Pennsylvania license plate, not a New York license plate. So he knew it was the wrong van. Then the guy opens up to my dad. I'm sorry, tells him what happened to his son. And my dad, you know, only my dad. I would have been like, praise the Lord, he delivered me. And now just to be sure, I'm going to run him over and back over him. My dad takes him by the hands and, your son can't come back. But what about your eternity and soul? And leads him to the Lord. In India, God spared my dad's life 2 different times. My dad just got back from a Middle Eastern nation, which we can't tell you what nation because the people that are over there could still get in trouble. But it rhymes with Pakistan. So my dad's over there in this anonymous country. Nobody laid a hand on him. And I could tell, I remember there's another one. The lady just contacted me the other day when I was preaching in Asbury Park. I remember all these stories from when I was a little kid. Why? Talk about it when you're at home. My mom and dad didn't keep it to themselves. My dad would come off of every trip and start sharing what the Lord had done. Let me tell you, that messes you up when you're 4 and 5 and 6 years old. I'm still messed up, still haven't recovered from it. There's a doctor down in Pittsburgh that the last time I saw him, he said, "Do you know what you did to me when you were little?" I said, no, hoping the statute of limitations had expired from whatever it was. He said, "I was going to get a pizza at Oso's Pizza." And he said, "You were standing there in Oshkosh Bagosh corduroy pants, pulled just under your chest like we wore them back in the 80s. You'd wear your pants around here." He said, "You had your hands in the pockets, 4 inches of white gym socks showing. And I had a speech impediment back then." He said, "I'm going in for a pizza." And I hear, "Mister!" He said, I turned around. "You, are you sure, certain you're not going to hell?" You know, you have a dad that's an evangelist. You think that's how you're supposed to, like, greet people. He said, "I never forgot that." My wife and I were sitting at a restaurant. And the waitress comes over. Camila was 1 and a half. And she goes, "Oh, what a nice baby. How beautiful." Camila looked up at her, took her hand, and slapped her in the forehead. Not to hit her. She had watched me line everybody up every night for 18 straight months. She thought that's how you say hello. Hello. Tough to explain to a waitress. No, I'm telling you, she's not hitting you. She was trying to impart her baby spirit into your spirit. Her doctrine's a little off, but remember, she's only 18 months old, so cut her a break. One of the first times my wife left my daughter alone with me, she was about 2 and a half because I was pretty well useless as a father up until, now, basically. She's there in a diaper, and that's it. And she comes out 2 and a half, just me and her, and she goes, "Hey, Pa." I don't know how I ended up getting called Pa. My wife's Puerto Rican. I thought I'd be Poppy. I always said Dad. Somehow we settled on Pa like it's 1837 Kentucky. But whatever. Little hands on her diaper, on the hips of her diaper. "Hey, Pa." I said, "Yeah." She went, "Get me a yogurt in Jesus' name." I said, "Camila, I'm your dad. I'm not a demon. You can just say please." She's like, she thinks that's just how you get everything. "Welcome to Tim Hortons. How can I help you?" "I'll have a double-double in Jesus' name." And that's what God was saying in Deuteronomy 11. If you'll talk to your children about the great things God has done, it'll mess them up. They won't be able to hook in with drugs. I remember, I told you I went to John Baptist High School over in Bangor. I remember that this kid, I won some kind of talent contest they had, making people laugh. I wrote a song about the janitor, and it made everybody laugh, including him. He was in on the song. He sung it with me. So then I'm on the map now. Nobody knew who I was. Now this senior comes over to me as my junior year. He goes, "Hey," just like this, "Hey, we're having a huge party tonight, and I wanted to invite you and see if you wanted to..." Then his face changed, just like this. "I wanted to invite you and see if you wanted to go..." You don't go to stuff like that, do you? You know what? You keep doing the way you... Don't come. You don't want to come. Now, God has his hand on your life. When the person the devil sends to invite you to a party invites you and disinvites you in the same sentence. I didn't even get a chance to respond to the invitation. Hey, we're having a party. We'd love you to come. You know what? Don't come. Stay home. Keep obeying the call of God on your life. I sense there's an anointing on you. Don't sell it out in Jesus' name. Because God said, if you'll teach your children his word and teach them to follow it, I'll actually put a hedge of protection around them. I won't let them go the way other children go. I'm telling you, your family is not going to end up like other families. All the students that are here, you're going to go to school, but what tramples through that school will never touch your life. You're not like everybody else. You're not going to end up like everybody else. You're not going to live like everybody else, and you're not going to die like everybody else. You are the blessed of God who made the heavens and the earth, and your life will show it from tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive that, clap those hands again and give that God a mighty shout. Hallelujah! Notice how God said it's what messes people up. It's what messes religious people up. Because they think it just works automatically. I know the Bible says that. That's not how it ever worked. It doesn't work. You work it. You have to see it in the Word and say, if God said I can have it, I'm not settling for less. I'm not settling for second. I'm going to have everything that Jesus shed his blood that I might enjoy. Come on, if that sounds like you, signal it to heaven one more time. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This lady, Bonnie Halpern, was one of my dad's first ministry partners. My dad was driving home through the night to come see us. He'd finish Friday night, start Sunday morning. He'd drive from anywhere to get like 12 hours in to go back, running the roads. And this, my dad's driving home one night, falls asleep at the wheel. And when he woke up, there was an 18-wheeler making an illegal turn on the highway with his whole, whatever you call the backside of an 18-wheeler, the trailer. I only know about 1,800 to 2,000 words. I've been using thingy a lot. That thingy over there. So the trailer's across the road. My dad wakes up, yells Jesus, slams his foot on the brake so hard that it, is that when you broke the captain's chair? No. Slams his foot on the brake, and the thing comes to a stop. How close was the trailer to your windshield when it stopped, roughly? Yeah, it was like touching by the time it came to a stop. I mean, woke up, you talk about, that's how you start realizing God's not nervous. You know, Tiff's about to get beheaded. You know, wake him up like in the next half a second or it's over. So my dad wakes up, comes to a stop right in time. And then gets out from under the trailer and finishes the drive home. Well, you don't need no trouble staying awake after that. Come home with a resting heart rate of 450, 520. So my dad goes to bed the next morning, and Bonnie Halpern calls in the afternoon. That's my mom. She can speak to my dad. Did anything interesting happen to you? What time was it? Three what? So what did you ask? Did anything happen to you when?
3 o'clock. Between 3 o'clock and 3:10.
Did anything happen to you between 3 o'clock and 3:10? So my dad, to not shade her answer, says, why do you ask? Well, I'm just going to tell you what happened. I've never had this happen before, but at 3 in the morning, the Lord woke me up with an intense burden to pray for you. She said, I actually felt like your life was in danger. She said, I didn't even wake her husband, Felix. I didn't even wake him up. I just got down on my knees and prayed, you know, not knowing what to pray. When you don't know what, when you're faced with something you don't understand, pray in the language you don't understand. She said, I started to pray. Father, I don't know where Tiff is, but wherever he is, keep him safe. Protect him. Prayed in tongues. And she said, as strong as the burden came, I felt it lift at about 3:10. She said, so I was just wondering if anything happened between 3 and 3:10. My dad said, well, since you brought it up, told her the whole thing that happened. So yeah, you can die if you want. But if you start to claim what God's word says, God will actually start waking up Jewish ladies in North Jersey to get out of bed and disrupt people's sleep to begin to pray for you. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says trouble chases sinners, but blessings chase the righteous. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 4. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you'll have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back, and when you run, you won't stumble. Listen to that. People would have you believe like the only verse in the Bible is how many of you know a righteous man that we fall seven times, he gets back up. Yeah, the Bible does say that. That's a great scripture when you go preach in prison to tell those guys, though you've messed up, you can rebound. If you made a mistake, you don't have to stay down. But that's not a life verse. Because the Bible says, if you do what I tell you to, I will teach you wisdom's ways. I'll lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. And when you run, you'll never stumble. You get what you believe. What you believe, you're empowered to become. So once you get saved, if you accept some kind of Bible teaching that's not biblical, well, I mean, no, we all miss it every day. Speak for yourself. I'm not missing it right now. My 2 feet are standing dead center in the will of God. This meeting's not out of the will of God. You're sitting. Your bum is in the chair that God wants you in right now. You're not at a club. You're not at a bar. You're not out smoking dope somewhere like you would have been some of you 3 or 4 years ago. No, God has turned you around, and you'll never go backwards another day in your life in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. When you run, so I can run and not stumble, according to the word of God. Not fall, not stumble. Go forward unabated. Though the enemy rises up and says they won't stop me for 1 second, I'm anointed to run and not stumble. Lift both hands all over this place. The last setback you had will be the last setback you ever have. The efficacy of God's word will prove true. The same way it changed the Shuttlesworth family. It'll change your family because God is no respecter of persons. When you believe his word and act on his word, what God's done for others, he'll do for you in Jesus' name. You'll run and not stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they're the key to life. Don't do as the wicked do. Don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. You know, hallelujah. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. For evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble. Hallelujah. They eat the food of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the upright. Lift your right hand to heaven and just say it so the devil can hear you. Say, I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Now, before I read that 18th verse, that's the one thing that CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they hate. They hate any kind of preaching that makes it seem like you can have a different outcome based on obedience to God's word. When I heard them always mocking that, anything the devil doesn't want you to say, say it more. So if they want you to think, well, this is basically church is a place we come, as this is, you know, a place for the community to come, and you have your little religious beliefs, and that's fine, but, you know, really, we all live in America. What happens in America to others, it'll happen to you just as well. If somebody starts preaching that you don't have to be sick, hallelujah, which the Bible clearly teaches. Exodus 23:25. If you will serve me and not serve the other gods of this nation, I will not permit, not I'll heal you when you get sick. He said, I will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness and disease out of your midst. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 23:25. Exodus 15. When they came and found the water that was full of bacteria and scum and virus, and it was bitter to drink, God showed Moses a piece of wood and said, put
Throw that wood in the water. D.L. Moody, a Baptist, said that wood is a type of the cross. When he took the wood and threw it into the water, the Bible says all that junk that was in the water cleared out and made it good to drink. And then God said, hallelujah, I'm going to use this as an object lesson. The same way that wood cleared the water out. If you will serve me, if you will, it all starts. I'm telling you, the golden key to life is serving God with all your heart. And if you'll serve me, if you'll not mix me in, whatever people do on Sunday mornings, they're God. I don't care what church you claim to go to. And I'm not talking to you. So it must be for people online. Because you're crazy enough to go to church twice. Some of you had to tell people on your way out the door. Where are you going? Church. Thought you went. Yeah, I'm going again. Is it Easter? No. I'm starting to lose my mind over religion. Amen. I said amen. Amen. People, you know, you drive to church on Sunday morning, especially when it's like this in Maine. People have their boat tied to the back. The lake's their God. Their camp's their God. Their boat's their God. They don't even know. If you have, no, I love the Lord. It's just, it's nice. Just shut up. It's a command. Honor, take the first hours of every week and put them as dedicated to me. And if you'll take, I mean, my God, it's not the book of Acts. We're not coming at 8 in the morning and leaving at 9 at night. You can't clear 2 hours out to be in the house of God? No. Sunday morning is roll call to see who's still in covenant with God. Because you can't just get in covenant with God and write off that. Every day, every new morning, you lift up your hand and say, Father, just so you know, you're my number one. You're my God. I serve you. You still have access to this boy to use him any way you want. And if you take those first few hours and plant him in the house of God. That's my wife. We go on vacation. We're in church. I took a vacation to Puerto Rico. Because she's from there. We went there to rest. This was years back, before we had Camila. Sunday, I went on the internet, found the Pentecostal church. I understood about 5 words, Dios, bendicion. I know a couple, but I didn't hear anything. I just sat there. And while they were speaking Spanish, I spoke in English quietly. I said, Father, just so you know, I'm here not to receive from the service. I'm here to let you know, me no take vacation from our covenant. I'm a covenant man. That's the Bible. That is what has confused the American church, because they teach this like it's a book of promises. How many of you know God gave us all these promises? But they're not promises like we understand promises. God isn't a promise God. God is essentially a covenant God, and this is a covenant book. A covenant is a well-defined term between two parties. And God always said, if you do, then I will. If you do, then I will. So there's always not God. Well, I didn't know. There's always for me to do. And that's how God works. Look at marriage. You do and you'll get this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband. And America has a problem with it because they always want the thing first. So the wife, if he loves me, I'll submit. The husband, if you'd submit, I'd love you. But God said, if you always do your part first, you never have to worry about the other part. So you just search that book out. That's how I mean. Read all the scriptures that we've been reading tonight. Take my word. Hold my word. Talk about my word. Because the word shows you your part to play. And when you do your part, you never have to pray. You never have to fast. You never have to do nothing to ensure that God does his part. Just do what God tells you to do. And God is then committed to do what he said he would do. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord's day. Keep it holy. And so you don't take a vacation from it. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen. 4:18. But the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. Who has a King James Bible? Certainly there'd have to be somebody in Central Maine. You mind if I borrow it? I will not steal it. As a deposit, you may hold mine. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day or the full light of day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they're stumbling over. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Say this out loud. This is a supernatural book. When you read it, it actually will start to go. And let alone when you hear it preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, which if you read the little fine print notes in the study Bible, it says the second hearing constitutes understanding. Faith cometh by hearing and understanding the word of God. That's why you never get the benefit of scriptures you don't understand. Philip goes by the Ethiopian eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I? Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? And Philip began with this same scripture and used many more to show him that Jesus was the Son of God. And he went in one carriage ride from being confused to saying, there's some water, why can't I be baptized there? So as long, the devil doesn't mind if you own a Bible, as long as you don't understand it. But the Bible says if you'll commit yourself to studying this book and incline thine ear unto my sayings and meditate on it day and night, it'll actually produce health for your flesh. Lift both hands all over this place. Everything in the realm of sickness or disease or infirmity, I don't care how it came, I don't care how old you are, whether you're 4 or 109, every sickness that had the gall to come into this sanctuary, I command it to drop out of your body now in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, shout, I receive it.
I receive it.
For their health to your flesh. And life to those that find them. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. Or in another translation, it affects everything you do. Put away from thee a froward mouth. And perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder, hallelujah. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, please, thank you very much. Please say it again. Say, I'm not like everybody else. I walk a different path. You have to have. If that mentality escapes you in this final hour of time, you're finished. I live in America. I am not. I am a citizen of heaven who lives in America. You know, when you're talking about my dad being in that foreign country and how he had to run things a certain way to make sure he wasn't killed or arrested. But does he have to worry about that now? No. Because whatever authority there is there, he's not there anymore. He's in another kingdom. So if a police officer from that nation showed up and said, came to our door in Maine, in Brewer, and said, we found out what you did. You're under arrest. He's going to get shot. Not my dad. The policeman will get shot. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying I know my dad, and that's how the story would end. Those guns are not decorative. And a hush falls over the crowd, so the preacher moves on. Why? If that was happening in that country, my dad has a problem. But that officer has no authority and no jurisdiction to harass my father in this country. And the Bible says when you're saved, things don't flow on the natural realm. You are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And so what afflicted you before does not have the authority to afflict you now. Because you're not in that. See, that's what God was trying to tell him in Deuteronomy 11. I'm not taking you to the same kind of place in a different location. No, the land that I'm taking you to, Deuteronomy 11, is nothing like the land from whence you came. That land that you were in, it was hard. You had to dig ditches with your foot. Nothing ever worked out. But the land that I'm taking you to is a land that's flowing with milk and honey, where the Lord actually cares. Where the Lord actually cares for the land himself. You just have to go and collect the blessing. It's all just laying there for you. When those spies came in, they said, look at the size of these grapes. I'm telling you, we saw milk and honey everywhere. And 10 spies with unbelief, all they saw, yeah, that's true. That stuff is there. But there's giants. Let me tell you, there are giants. There's giants here. There's the devil that tries to keep the people of God from possessing their possessions. But I like what Caleb and Joshua said. If the Lord is with us, they are but bread for us. We must go at once and possess the land just like God said. One more time, shout it out. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. Come on, say it convincingly. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. Say, I'm on the winning side. You watch any NFL game on Sunday. You don't even need to know what the score is to know who's winning. Look over at the two sidelines. I was watching the Steelers, you know, I live in Pittsburgh. They were losing, gave up however many, 42 points in one game. Wide receiver shoved the wide receiver coach. I didn't need to know what the score is. Just see that and you know they're losing. That doesn't happen on winning sidelines. Then you go over to the other side. Everybody's high-fiving. They even hug the kicker, who doesn't get talked to the whole rest of the week. Everybody's laughing because they're winning, except Bill Belichick. He's the one exception to what I'm saying. He looks exactly the same, win or lose. Looks like many Christians, like he was baptized in pickle juice. How are you doing, Brother Belichick? Blessed. Well, notify your face. Can you say amen? But you know what? I could roll footage. When the Patriots win the Super Bowl, when it's on, he turns into a different Bill. He's shouting then because he won. And see, we're not trying to win. Jesus won 2,000 years ago, and he made us more than conquerors. So we should look like it. The Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that there should be a joy that governs your spirit. I'm not trying to win. I'm not trying to get the victory. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I have the victory because Jesus won it all for me. Come on, if you realize that tonight, announce it again to the devil. Clap your hands and give God a mighty, mighty shout. Hallelujah. Come on, go ahead. Clap those hands. Give God a, let the shout, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. So it works. In summary, it works. Somebody say it works. And I started to say that's what they get mad about. They start to say, oh, these preachers teach people that God, they don't actually need medication, that God will heal them. They teach that that it's like literal healing. We don't mind you talking about like ethereal healing. But don't make people believe that they actually don't need the United States pharmaceutical system. Because there's a lot of money to be made off your broken body. It's all a money game. Love of money is the root of all evil. Food and Drug Administration. Put stuff in the food to get people on drugs. That's what it is. Because you are an asset with a lot of money to be made. And you don't realize it until you leave the country. You think it's normal for your kid to be on 6 drugs. Think about it, on drugs. We took, Camila was having trouble keeping a certain type of food down, formula, when she was 2 months old. Here's a pill that'll help with digestion. I don't want drugs. I want you to do like the doctor did for my mom when I was having indigestion. Beat the bubbles out of Coca-Cola and have me drink it. That's what they used to do. They used to try to get you better. Now it's just drug after drug after drug. And the first drug throws 2 other things off. Now my stomach hurts. Here's a drug for that. Now I can't sleep. Here's one to go to bed. Now I can't sleep through the night. Here's one to sleep through the night. Now I have trouble getting up. Here's one to get up with. Before you know it, you're on 11 drugs. I prayed for a woman that was on 40 prescription pills. Now, if you're not even supposed to take, I'm legally. Now, if you're not supposed to take Advil every day, how can any physician prescribe that actually cares about people? I'm not saying they all do. And it's not the doctor any more than the problem with public schools or the teachers. People have to do what they're told or they're fired. There's a system in place to make money off of people. And when I went to Holland, I came to Holland on a Sunday morning and preached. Adalis couldn't get there till Monday. So I took a taxi to go pick her up from the airport. And when we went, we loaded Adalis in the car and her bags. And the Dutch taxi driver said, I assume you'll want to go to the pharmacy to get your prescriptions filled. I said, no, we don't have that. He turned around and said, are you serious? I said, yeah. He said, you're the first Americans I've ever picked up from the airport that the first place they needed to go wasn't the pharmacy. So you think stuff's normal here. It's like they think it's normal here for 2 guys to get married. But you go over in other countries, 70% of the nations on earth still think that's ridiculous. So you live here, you think things are supposed to be a certain way, and you should kind of shut up about it if you don't agree that way. I don't know why everybody's allowed to say what they want, and we're supposed to shut up and feel bad if we say what the Bible says. But I'm going to tell you, I never bought into that. The Word of God, let God be true, and every man be a liar. I don't only believe the Bible, I'm not ashamed that I believe the Bible. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it alone is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. So people think it's normal to be on drugs. America is not 80% of the world's population, but we consume 80% of the pharmaceuticals. So people think it's normal to be sick, to the point that when they hear somebody start preaching like me, it's like, okay, I know that's in Exodus 15 and Exodus 23, but I mean, I don't think that's realistic. Okay, who cares what you think? Are you a Bible character? Did God have you author a 67th book of the Bible? Then zip it. If you want to tick me off in a hurry, start talking like your thoughts are on par with God's word. Who cares what you think? You want to know another thing? Who cares what I think? What have you heard me say one time in these two services, and when will you hear it the rest of this week? Well, I know the Bible says this, but, you know, God also expects you to be realistic. Okay. You'll get wiped from the earth, and nobody will know you ever hit the place. God's not looking for somebody to add to his word. The Bible says, if any man adds to this book, I will add unto him all the plagues that are in this book. And if any man takes away from it, you won't say, you're embarrassed to say what it says. I will take away his book, his name from the book of life, and his share in the eternal reward. Because you find out, that's how the enemy has tried to neuter the church, to get us to be ashamed to say anything out of this book except what lines up with American culture. That's why most people, all they can preach about is love and being nice. But they won't get into the things about the blessing. But you saw, how many of you were here this morning? You saw in that video, you can stand up in Newark, New Jersey with a Muslim crowd, drug addict, drug dealing crowd. I'm saying there. It was not a Christian crowd. It was 85% unchurched, unsaved people. And start to preach that Jesus is still the only way to heaven, that this book is the book that authors you a way of life. And they don't throw things at you. You start to see Muslim women in full burqas go like this. In Philadelphia, I saw two Muslim women, both simultaneously at different parts of the field when the anointing got strong, grab the burqa from underneath the hood and pull it off. And the one lady jumped the fence and came to the altar, would not wait till the altar call, because she said, I was saying, Jesus, if what this man is saying is true, and you could come at any time, I'll go to hell. And she kept saying it till she said, I'm not waiting. I'm going to the altar right now. America doesn't need an American Bible. America needs a Book of Acts church that doesn't care what the Democrats think, doesn't care what the Republicans think. They care. Let God be true and every man be a liar. If you know you're part of that church, clap those hands one more time and give God a mighty shout. Come on, take 30 good seconds and lift him up. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Turn to Malachi 3. For all the non-tithers that are about to flee the building, I'm reading the second half of Malachi chapter 3, so you can relax. Malachi chapter 3. Anytime you say Malachi 3, all the non-tithers start twitching. Malachi, the third chapter, 14. Malachi 3, 14. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Malachi 3, 14. You have said, this is God speaking, you've said, what's the use of serving God? And what have we gained by obeying his commands? Or by trying to show the Lord of hosts that we're sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Why? Because the people of God were saying how hard it is to serve the Lord. It's hard serving the Lord. God said, okay, you think it's hard? Then other people are going to enjoy your blessing. Because I don't bless people that say stupid things like that. If you're in the ministry, it doesn't take long before you get around people like that. I always want to share the worst story they ever had. Lowest offering they've ever had. Worst hotel they were ever. You should put that stuff out of your mind. And just starts me, thank you, Father. Thank you. I've been thanking God for everything you can thank him for lately. Because I don't know whether it's traveling or just spending time in the Word or what. I was like, Lord, thank you for four tires that have never blown out one time. Thank you that in however many miles I've driven, 800,000, a million, not one time has a car crossed the double yellow lines and ran it. That could happen any time. I can't control that. You've helped me with that. Thank you for a doctor. I got so busy, I forgot that I haven't even been to the hospital. I've just been so like immersed in the work of the Lord. I thought, good Lord, you've kept me really healthy. Thank you, Lord, for health. Thank you for strength. The Bible says, let them continually say, the Lord is good. And his mercy, not its life is hard. The Lord is good. Praise God. What did God say in Deuteronomy 11? Did he say, if you do what I tell you to do, life's going to be hard? He said, if you do what I tell you to do, it'll be, as it were, days of heaven on the earth. God said that. So I don't care who says the opposite. They're not God. It'll be, as it were, days of heaven on the earth. And you and your children will flourish. I love that word, flourish. I don't hear that word anywhere else except the Bible. Not you'll do okay. Not you'll get a job. You'll flourish. Hallelujah. My grandfather made the mistake. Nobody was saved in the Shuttlesworth family. My grandfather made a mistake of wandering headlong into a Pentecostal tent meeting. Gave his life to the Lord. Do you know what that, the word of God did to our family? We were West Virginia, broke people, nobody. My grandma said nobody had any teeth when she met the in-laws. I'm talking like every stereotype. Like I was talking about Brother Sky Burrow and the Shuttlesworth family in West Virginia. Americans were like squatters. Kentucky Cane Ridge Revival. Nobody had indoor plumbing. And that revival swept through. And when people grabbed hold of the word of God, it didn't just secure a place in heaven. It started to make people, I wouldn't even want to see what I would look like without God. I wouldn't even want to see what I'd look like without his word. I don't think I'm smart. I don't think I know that there's somebody who lives in me. And that God's word imbued something into my spirit and gave health for my bones and everything that I am because he lives. That's why I get overcome. If you watch those videos from when I'm doing the crusades, and some guy comes up. I was preaching in West Virginia, Clarksburg, West Virginia, and the first night, this guy came up to get saved. And I'm telling you, he was a wreck. I mean, like, as a faith guy who believes God, I looked at him and thought, it's too late. What are you going to do for this guy? He's gone. Comes forward with a white tank top on. We used to call them wife beaters, but I don't think you're supposed to say that anymore. So anyway, I think on TJ Maxx I saw they're called A-frame tank tops. So he came in an A-frame tank top, in parentheses, wife beater, with dark wraparound sunglasses on at night, and just watching him stagger to the altar. And I'm talking younger than me. You could tell his whole central nervous system was blown out from drugs. Comes up. And I, as a faith guy, I'm thinking, boy, I wish I could have prayed for this guy. Got to him like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So I just closed my eyes and tried to tap into my spirit. And when I was leading in the sinner's prayer, him and all the other people that came to the altar, he couldn't even pray the sinner's prayer. His mind was so blown out. Say this, dear Heavenly Father. I was thinking, I don't know if that's going to qualify. So I went over, you can see on the video, he had his hand lifted. I grabbed his hand, just trying to do anything. If I had oil, I would have dumped it over him. I would have used every possible release of God's power you could do. I held his hand, and I was making it like I was doing it for everybody, but I was just doing it for him. Now say it again, and say it clearly. Dear Heavenly Father, say, dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. Come on, say it. The whole it's just the whole crowd, but it's him. We struggle through that prayer. That guy's brain blown out. Nervous, can't even walk right from drugs. Foul devil, wicked devil. And I'm praying, and I'm thinking the whole time, hey, what's stopping him from being me? If those two didn't follow God, if my dad let somebody take him off and quit the ministry, that's what happened to Jesse James. His dad was a pastor, had a fight with the board, quit the ministry and moved to California, and look what his kids turned into. Because you get out of the will of God, it messes everybody up. But what I'm telling you tonight, everybody knows that. But if you get in the will of God, it not only does it mess, you and your children begin to flourish, where everything you touch is blessed, where you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You bring forth fruit in every season. Your leaves never wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not like everybody else. I walk a different path. I'm not on the Broadway that leads to destruction. I made a choice in 1984. I will serve the Lord. And I stuck with it, and I haven't had 1 hour to regret it. I can testify tonight in Charleston, Maine. Surely, not hopefully, surely goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. And I prophesy to all of you tonight in the name of Jesus. Surely goodness and mercy from now till Christmas, it'll be the best 3 months you've ever had. Things are going to work like they worked before. God will bless you. God will show himself as your healer. Everything turns around from tonight, whether the devil likes it or not. If you receive that, let the noise you make be the loudest. Lift up God with a shout. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, praise ye the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But then those who feared with the Lord spoke with each other. And the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of hosts. On the day when I act, they will be my own special treasure. And I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference. Now you'll have to tell them. People just see there's something different about you. And it'll attract them to God. It's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen? Lift your right hand to the Lord and just say this. Thank you, Father. People are going to see a difference in me, and it'll draw them to you. Genesis 26, the king that kicked Isaac off the land came back and said, we can plainly see that the Lord is with you. That was a heathen talking. So I'm praying for that guy at the altar, struggle through the prayer. And then I prayed. I thought, well, before I turn him loose to go fill out that card, let me just pray one more prayer since he's extra messed up. I mean, how do you even reverse this? Nervous damage is final. I said, well, before all you go, let me pray for you. And I didn't want to single him out and embarrass him, but I was basically just praying for him, but I did it generally like it was for the whole crowd. I said, Father, they say you can't unscramble eggs, but I know you can do anything. So if anyone has a brain in this crowd that's been scrambled like eggs, I pray you'd unscramble it, Father, and put it, the yolk right back in the shell like it was never broken. And I get done praying and said, you can go to the tent there, fill out your salvation follow-up card and get your Bible. And I watched him stay. And I thought if Bill Maher was standing up on the platform with me, or some heathen comedian that mocks Christianity, and they said, now what do you preachers even do for people? Look at him. You think he looks better? I'd have to say, no, he looks exactly the same as before we started praying. 3 days later, Adalys was there. Her and her twin sister said, there's a guy that wants to see you. They bring him back. He said, you prayed with me Sunday night. I said, excuse me, sir, I don't remember you. I don't remember ever seeing you. He said, you prayed for me at the altar. I had on sunglasses and a white tank top. He had on like a Banana Republic shirt, not a wife beater. People who wear Banana Republic clothes don't beat their wives as often as people that wear wife-beating clothing. It's not conducive to wife-beating, to have like a button-down collar. I said, that's you. Yep. He said, man, it's the funniest thing. After you know, what's your name? Man, it's the funniest thing. After you prayed for me. He said, my mind just got real clear. I'm moving good. I'm not in any pain. And he said, I'm trying to, like, keep it together. The way my dad raised me, I'd get paddled for crying. So it stuck with me. Thought that would make people laugh, but it didn't. So didn't even say it.
He said, I feel really good. He's in his 20s, late 20s. He said, the only thing is, I can't stop shaking. He said, I used to do 4 or 5 grams of meth every day from the time I was 14 or 15 until now. He said, I haven't touched it this whole week. But the thing is, I just can't stop shaking. Can God help me with that? When he told me he hadn't touched the drugs, and I was seeing, you know, clear-headed, speaking clearly, I said, can God do that? You just turned me. If people thought I was hyper-faith before, I turned from hyper-faith to super-hyper-faith. I said, have a seat in that chair. I said, give me your hands. And I said, Father, and my wife can tell you, she was there. She was crying. Her twin sister was crying. I said, Father, in just... I didn't even get sus out. I'll tell you how powerful the name of Jesus is. Just the first syllable. The devil goes, I know it's coming. What about the power of that name? That's why you can talk about God on TV. Nobody cares. You talk about karma. Talk about spirituality. But you say that five-letter name. And two of the four ladies on The View instantly lose all the effects of Botox. Storm off the set. That name stirs up every devil. Because when you get beaten senseless in a fight, if somebody says, and the guy that beats you up's name's Lenny, and then somebody says, Lenny, see here? The devil got such a beating from Jesus Christ on the cross that the name inflicts post-traumatic stress disorder. Is he here? Jesus said, I don't have to come back. Just say my name. That little joker will pee his pants and run off into the night. I added that part, but it's true. I said, in the name of Jesus. And I felt, and I'm not a lunatic, and I'm not an exaggerator, I felt something leave. I don't know if you've ever been around drug addicts. They're never still. They're always, they have like the most disquieted spirit. And it stands out to me, because when you grow up in a home with a preacher, it's quiet. The home's quiet. The home's peaceful. Our home's like that. When you, some of the homes you guys grew up in, where, you know, you had a stepfather that came home. It's like everybody could be having fun. And the second he walked in the door, it was like hell came with him. And you know, shut the Nintendo off. Go up to your room, take cover. Somebody's going to get yelled at or beat. Well, do you ever think if somebody can carry hell with them like that, that somebody can carry heaven with them? And darkness doesn't drive out light. Light drives out darkness. And I see everyone in this room taking their place. Where not only is God going to give you peace that passes all understanding and joy like a fountain. Hallelujah. Romans 14, 17. True religion is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That'll overflow from you. That wherever you work, wherever you live, when you step in that place, what's in there won't overwhelm what's in you. What's in you will begin to overwhelm everywhere your foot treads from this day forward in Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive that, go ahead and give the Lord another mighty applause. Step into your new season. When I said in the name of Jesus, you could feel. He was so twitchy and, you know, you're out. Got to leave the service 3 times. People that are unsettled, that don't know the Lord. I used to live in Virginia Beach. Anytime you're by a beach, there's a ton of homeless people for whatever reason. They're always walking. Where are you going? You have no home. Just sit. If I was homeless, I would just chill. Wouldn't it be wild to have a 20-pound backpack and a shopping cart? Where are you going? You live everywhere. Their spirit's troubled. Devil's always. And God gives you peace. Peace like a river.
Hallelujah. The disciples were all freaking out on the boat, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat with his head resting on a pillow. Prince of Peace. But you know something? To be the Prince of Peace, you also have to be a mighty man of war. Because you have to carry enough power that anything that's trying to disquiet your peace, you can tell it like the storm, shut up! He didn't say peace be still with an effeminate accent.
Peace be still.
If you read it in the Aramaic, it's the strongest shut up in the Aramaic. He was already ticked off because they woke him up from a nap. You read it in the Bible. Jesus goes over to a fig tree. That fig type of fig tree, when the leaves came, the figs were supposed to come at the same time. Sees a fig tree in full leaf. Oh, good. And the Bible says he was hungry. No figs. Nobody eats from you again. Now he's sleeping. And Peter doesn't just wake him up. Peter wakes him up with attitude. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Hey, shut up! And then he's not done. They're like, oh, that's pretty good. You shut up too! Have I been with you all this time? And still you don't believe? Don't wake me up again. And they marveled. What kind of man is this? That even the wind and waves obey him. Can you say amen? Amen. I mean, I'm sorry to spoil your vision of what Jesus is like. But the Bible doesn't say he bought a whip. The Bible says he braided a whip. He knew how to make hand-to-hand combat weapons. Look at these people selling stuff in the temple.
Jesus, what are you doing? Hang around, you'll see.
Mighty God, I said mighty God, Prince of Peace, Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he lives on the inside of you. When I said in Jesus, and I felt that troubling thing go. When I opened my eyes, he already had his eyes open, the guy in West Virginia, and he went, whoa. He said, look, hands were perfectly still. And then he said this, I haven't felt like this since I was 10 years old. It's actually funny what the anointing does, because I've preached children's meetings, and I've preached, you know, you do like a vacation Bible school, kids have real tender hearts. So then you see these people that are like 29, 30, they're drug dealers and gangs or whatever. But basically all they have is like an 18-year callus built up on their spirit. And as the anointing comes, it starts to dissolve it. But you see these guys, like scorpion tattoo on the face. And then 15 minutes into your message, they're like an 8-year-old kid again. Hallelujah. There's nothing the devil's done to your son. There's nothing the devil's done to your marriage. There's nothing the devil's done to anybody that the anointing of the Holy Ghost won't turn the whole thing around today. Can you say amen? Can you say a mighty amen? Can you say a hell-rattling amen? You know what that guy told me next? He said, my grandfather was a Pentecostal minister. And when he died, I got into drugs. So you see, whether it's the James brothers in the Old West, if the devil can attack, he's not looking to just kill somebody. That's why it doesn't say the thief has come to steal and kill. It says the thief has come to steal, kill, and so the killing is just part two. Pastor dies early from a heart disease or whatever. The devil attacks him. The wife ends up on mind medication and doesn't go to church, medicated, can't even function. And the kids end up not serving the Lord. So if you don't put a stop to the attack, it won't stop. It's like ripples on a pond. The attack hits, it'll keep going. But you know, when a miracle hits, it's the same way. The miracle's only the beginning. And like a rock in the pond, it starts spreading and touching everybody. I came back to Clarksburg the next year. That guy was there, clean shaven, nice haircut. Not that that matters. You can go to hell with a bad haircut. Doesn't really make a difference. But it's very interesting to me that he looked, you know, people get an unclean spirit and they start looking unclean. And then they get saved, and without anybody telling them, they start cleaning up. Can you say amen? I never told him. I didn't preach one night on please buy Banana Republic shirts and don't wear wife beaters. That was not the title of any message I've ever preached. There he comes the next night. He comes the next year. Said, I wanted to stop by and tell you that I have a job now. We got money in the bank. Me and my mom are doing pretty good. I have never touched drugs. The year after, it was still working. I'll tell you one more, and then I'll leave you alone for the night. Because it's getting late, you know. It's almost 7:15. People in the nursing home haven't even eaten their nightly Activia pudding yet. Amen. That same meeting in Clarksburg, West Virginia, this couple came and got saved opening night. Another case. You talk about in the throes of sin. When they filled out their salvation card, it said for address, we live in a tent by the creek. That's pretty low. And she was born with cerebral palsy. And he would wheel her up, carry her out of the chair. You know, you see people like, they're on drugs. Yeah, I probably would be on drugs if I lived in a tent and had cerebral palsy. Nobody ever told me about Jesus. Why? That's what drugs are for. Who would want to, you know, you're always going to be a jerk if you know he's a drug addict. Then you start finding out why people are on drugs. You think, good Lord. Drugs, I'd have killed myself if I lived like he lived. But you want to know something? Your children will never know a household like that. Because their mother or father is going to leave out of this place tonight carrying the power of God to their children, and their home will never be the same. If you believe it, can you shout a living amen? Picks her up, puts her in the chair. They sat in the front row. It was an amphitheater. So the first night, when I give the altar call, she raises her hand the best she can, picks her up out of the chair, puts her in the wheelchair, and pushes her forward. They come and receive Jesus Christ. You can tell he doesn't have a... I live in a tent. They don't even have enough for low-income housing. They thank me, wave to me, go over and fill out their thing to get their free Bible. Come back the next night. Come back the next night. Come back the next night. I have it on video. I pay a TV crew a lot of money in anticipation that God's going to visit those meetings. And we're going to take all those miracles and put them on every channel you can to shove it in the devil's face that our God is still a miracle-working God. Friday night, I had announced we're going to anoint everybody with oil that wants anointed with oil. And so I said, because it was an amphitheater and there wasn't room, I said, we can't line everybody up. So if you'd like prayer, stand up. If you don't want prayer, stay seated. So when I went through the first row, obviously she can't stand up. She's not like it hurts to walk. I'm not saying this joking or making light. I'm telling you, the best I could describe it is from being cerebral palsy from the womb. She had the skeletal constitution of like a jellyfish. I mean, her chin was down, like just like a no skeletal constitution, just all slunk in on herself. And so obviously she can't stand up, so I'm not going to skip her. I figured I'd say, I know you can't stand. Would you like prayer? She only goes. I said, okay. So I took oil and poured it on her head. Normally, I was just putting a little bit, but I thought, we'll use it. What are we saving it for? I said, Father, do this miracle for your glory in Jesus' name. Finished. And she went like this, like, thank you. And I went on thinking, shoot, man. It's been great to see her pop up out of there. Get about 3/4 of the way through the crowd, anointing people with oil. And I'm telling you, man, these crusades have been so fun. One guy's from a biker gang. When I anointed him with oil, he had the patch on. I know the gang. When I anointed him with oil, he immediately spoke with tongues and fell out under the power and then came to see me after, gave me a hug. So then we go, 3/4, and I hear a roar down from the front row. There's a sound that it produces in a crowd when there's a miracle. It's different than like cheering at a football game because it's the same kind of exuberance, but it comes from a people's spirits, like their eyes. And many believed on him seeing the miracles. That when somebody sees a miracle, it like opens their spirit up. So sure enough, I said to the guy that was with me, Mike, I said, something happened down there. Find out what it is. And we got the video. About 8 minutes after I anointed her with oil, she's sitting there in the chair like she was every night. And then she went like this.
And started taking steps, and I'm telling you, the place went ballistic.
You see, because of the crusade, you saw people take the cigarette out and go, holy, you know, people don't notice the hallelujah. You're like, holy moly, hot dog. Take their cigarette out. By that one miracle, they came back and told me. They got a job. She's walking now. I'm telling you, when God said, if you do what I tell you to do and line yourself up with his word, he said you and your children will flourish. Your path won't be like other people's paths. And that's what they hate on CNN, New York Times, Washington Post. They don't mind if you teach people, turn the other cheek, be kind. You know, Blockbuster Video used to preach that. Be kind, rewind. It's not. There's more to Christianity than that. It's not just treating people with respect and kindness. Anybody can do that. It's a life-transforming power. And the Bible, Jesus said, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. And many are there that travel thereon. But there's another path. That's the path I'm calling you to tonight. You can live in this world, but walk on a path that's different from this world. I went down to preach in St. Lucia at the beginning of this year. My flight landed at 5:37, and the meeting started at 7 o'clock. There were 400 people in the customs line. And I was thinking, how in the world am I going to get through here and get to the platform on time, and I'm not even dressed to preach? And as I was thinking it, an airport worker, lady was taking her break in the airport outfit, and she said, Evangelist Jonathan? I was in a Puma soccer tracksuit with sunglasses on. I said, yeah. She went, are you here to preach? I said, yeah. She said, are you preaching tonight? I said, yeah. I said, what time? She said, what time? I said, 7. She said, I don't think you can wait in this line. I said, I agree. She said, come with me. Came with me. Took me straight to the front, to the diplomats only line, where there was a diplomat in line. Asked him to please move out of the way. They're not used to being spoken to. He looked at me. People are taking pictures of me with their cell phone, because when you get walked past the whole line, they just assume you're a movie star. So it's like they're taking pictures and they're going to figure out who you are after. Like, well, Justin Bieber's actually much uglier in person. He looks like, I know he says he's 26, he's got to be 40 years old. Says, give me your passport. Hands the passport. Gets the passport back with the stamp and says, now hurry up. Service starts in less than an hour and a half. I said, I will. Go right through. My wife wasn't with me that time. But we were in South Africa. South Africa is another country than St. Lucia. That's why it has a different name. And so we go to South Africa. Same thing. 300 people in line. I was standing there in a Puma zip-up suit. She's standing there, just normal looking. And this lady comes up to me. Would come with me. I said, okay. She said, is she with you? I said, yes. Have her come too. She walks me straight to the diplomat line. This time there's no diplomat. Give me your passport, shows him, and goes, you can go. I wanted to ask, why did you pick only us out of that crowd? But I also didn't want to screw it up. I go, are you not an old, ragged Justin Bieber? So instead I just went, thank you. Next time it shouldn't even take that long. No, I didn't. You start realizing that there's a God that watches over. The Lord watches over the path. Yes. Let me just tell you this. Every Bible college student that's here, even if you don't want life to work for you like I'm telling you it's working for me, you've sat here too long. From tonight, it's going to start working this way because you've sat and listened to the word of God. Everybody told you the ministry is going to be hard. I tell you, they're in for a rude awakening. Your ministry will tick them off because they'll try and it won't work. But you just like get up in the morning and it's like the blessings of God chase you down and doors open without you even trying. Can you say amen? I tell these Bible college students, the doors to preach will start to open for you before you even graduate. You will not lack opportunity. You'll have more than enough opportunity. Say it one more time so the devil can hear you. Say, I'm not like everybody else. I walk a different path. I could play you videos, CNN. These preachers tell people that if they give in the offering, that they can expect material blessing. Preachers didn't say that. Jesus said it's stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Stupid. These preachers tell people. Preachers just quote Jesus. Jesus said, give and you shall receive. How come they never do an expose on the casino owners? These preachers trick poor people out of their money. I'm not a casino owner. Casino owners do that. But you've never seen one expose on Dateline NBC. This casino owner is worth over $300 million. He owns a private jet. And look at all these people on oxygen, on the slot machines, gambling their disability. You never hear it one time because it's in the world system. But as soon as a man of God starts telling people that you don't have to be poor, you don't have to be sick, you don't have to struggle, you don't have to have sorrow, you can walk in the blessing of God, they target them to discredit them. But guess what? They've been trying that junk for 70 years and the church keeps growing. Because Jesus said, I will. Not I'll try. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody say it so they can hear you all over planet Earth. Say, I am blessed. Say, my children are blessed. Say, my children's children are blessed. But you have to enforce it. I'm going to pray for you in just a couple of minutes. Basically, it's just going to be a prayer of impartation. That you'll have a violent spirit. That when they say you and your someone you know is going to have cancer, something will rise up in you. And they'll apologize. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Because you won't receive it. Stand right up, my friend. The power of God's all over you. I may have already told you this morning. Come right out. I may have already told you this morning. But you're going to have the best 90 days you've ever had. Lift that hand to the Lord and give me your right hand. There it is. God reinvigorates your whole body right now. There it is. Filled. In Jesus' name. That's it. Hallelujah. Why did you lay hands on him by shaking his hand? Well, if you put it on their head, you push them down. If you do it without laying on hands, you're a hypnotist. So people get, you might as well just pray for people. I went down to Barbados in the height of the Zika thing. And I'm waiting to check in. I want you to say it one more time. Say, I'm not like everybody else. Say, I'm redeemed. It's very interesting if you read Acts 19 that demon spoke up and said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? So all the stuff that the Bible says belongs to you is not only recognized by God in heaven, it's recognized in hell. That there's a list of people that you touch at your own risk. You're going to join that list of people tonight. I said you're going to join that list of people tonight. Where the devil knows you don't mess with them. They know who they are. They know they have angels that aren't little naked babies playing harps. One angel killed 185,000 Amalekite soldiers in one night. That's not a naked baby. That's a mean guy. So I'm in Barbados, landing on the plane. We're landing on the runway, go straight to the airport. They're checking out a guy from Europe. He's checking out of the hotel, and I'm next in line. Two ladies behind the desk. Lady goes, you enjoy your stay? Yes. Do you think you'll come back next year? Who knows? Another lady speaks up. That's right. Who knows? Any of us could die at any time. And I watched her hand. She said, we could die at any time. That's between them two. They're free to die. If she said, me and my friend here and you could die at any time, that's between those three. But if I was where he is, she went like this. Any of us could die at any time. Well, now you got me involved. You swathed too far. So you can stand there like an idiot and let her pronouncement stay over you. But not me. I said, not me. She said, what do you mean not you? With this Zika, anybody could die. I said, I got vaccinated. She said, they don't have a vaccine. I said, they sure do. Psalm 91. I quoted Psalm 91. Well, it turns out they're two backslidden church girls. I get halfway through Psalm 91. They're like, you're right. Now, the guy from France, he never hooked in. What is this? It's actually like a poor, it's like a combination of Dracula and a Belgian accent, but, you know, close enough. They said, you're right. Pray for us. I said, I will pray for you. Have you received, that's how I found out they were backslidden. Have you received Jesus Christ? We used to go to church, but, you know, we quit going, but I need to go back. Are you a preacher? Yeah. What are you doing here in Barbados?
Preaching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know you. My mother told me. You're preaching outside at Queen's Park. Correct. I'll be there. Praise God. Let's pray now. They both received Jesus Christ at the desk. Why? Because it's innocent. No. You realize that everywhere you go, resort, airport, outdoor, preaching, indoor in church, I'm not here to blend in. I'm not here to survive. I'm here that wherever my 2 feet tread, that land is never the same. It turns from a wilderness to a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. As soon as you get on your feet, I want you to give Jesus one more final hand clap on this Sunday night. Go ahead. Sister Heather. Come on, give Jesus a big, big hand clap. Oh, you sound good. I feel devils getting nervous in Central Maine that a new generation of Holy Ghost believers are on their way out. These guys teach that if you give, God will bless you back, that you can actually expect material blessing. It works. I had a lady come up to me. I wasn't even preaching. I was just at a church. She said, Jonathan, here. Handed me a check for $250. I had a dream last night that you were at my church, and I gave you $250 in the dream. Here you go. You know that's the Lord. If I had a dream I gave somebody $250, I'd just wake up and go, whoo, glad that was a dream. But to dream it and do it, that's the Lord doing what he said. Give and you shall receive. I will cause men. I will cause men. I'll put something on people. Same way people just were motivated to travel land and sea to go deliver gold to Jesus when he was a child. Who brings gold to a baby shower? I claim that scripture for Camila's baby shower. It didn't even work. Who brings gold? I just thought the other two guys that brought frankincense and myrrh were probably like, thanks, Hank. Thanks a lot for making us look like jerks. I thought we weren't going to spend more than $50. You come with a bag of gold. Get your own camel home. We're out of here. You know what Bible scholars say? That Mary and Joseph lived off that gold for the 2 years they were in Egypt. Baptist Bible scholars say that before the need arose to go into Egypt where they won't be able to work, the Lord had them supplied for 2 years. I will fill your storehouses with grain. Before, lift your hands all over this room. Say it with your hands. Say, I walk a different path. Say, the path I walk on, before needs arise, the provision's there ahead of time. Now, with your hands lifted, I want you to take 30 seconds as Pastor Heather and Pastor Paul play their anointed worship music and praise music. I pray that in that presence, as you lift your hands and worship God, that the things that God said in his word would just begin to manifest in your life in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Lift up your mouth and your voice to the Lord and just say, begin to thank God that these next 90 days between now and Christmas, there'll be days of heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. You're not like everybody else. You're not dying of cancer. Cancer will never make its way into your property. I said cancer will never make its way into your property. I don't care if the cancer rate goes to 1 in 1. It'll never touch you. Though 1,000 fall at your one side and 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. But you'll see how the wicked are punished. There are different paths. And on our path, blessing flows. You can put your hands down and look up at me. What about Zika? I told the one lady, I had her laughing so loud I thought she was going to get fired. I said, if a Zika mosquito bites me, I'm not getting Zika. It'll fly away singing, there's power in the blood. Say it so the devil can hear you. Say, what's in me overwhelms what's outside of me.
touch my hand and I have a cold, you'll get sick.
Okay. Amazing how people can have so much confidence in disease. But if you'd get the same understanding that I'm actually infected with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and if I touch you, you'll be blessed. Hold your right hand up. Say this: thank you, Father, that from tonight forward, this is a weapon of righteousness. When I lay this hand on the sick recover. Hallelujah. Lift your other one up next to him. Begin to thank God that you're anointed for service. Anointed for service. This hand is in proxy of the hand of Jesus. Same hand. Mouth, same mouth. Feet, same feet. Where I go, Jesus goes. Who I touch, Jesus touches. Can you say amen? I see the Lord. You saw me call people out this morning. I see the Lord touch so many people at the same time. I'm not sure I know how to do it. I receive it. Somebody needs prayer for me. Thank you. I receive it. This man here in the short sleeve button up shirt, step right out. Power of God's all over you. Put one hand where your heart and lungs are. Lift the other one up to the Lord. In the name of the Lord, there it is. Be filled. There it is. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise. Just stay there and let the Lord touch you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, by the way, when I go to lay hands on you, I've had like three people lean forward real hard. Like it's a contest to see if I can knock you down. If I wanted to throw you down, I would stick my leg behind your legs, grab you by both sides of the head when you had your hands up, and throw you down. If the goal was to hit the ground, I'd have had everybody lay down at 5:30, get up and dismiss. Just receive. I don't care if you fall down or not. If you come up with your goal being to stay on your feet, you're not going to get much. Why don't you just put one foot in front of the other foot and leave? Open your heart. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. This is not state wrestling where you get deducted points if your back hits the ground. Can you say amen? Open your heart and let the Lord touch you. The people that have been in Pentecost the longest are the hardest to receive because they think they know everything. This is one of these evangelists that goes around shoving people down. No. If you get shoved down by me, you have a problem. Look at these wrists. You're one weakling. You get shoved down by me. I don't shove anyway. But when the power of God hits people, the flesh gives way. And it's all through the Bible, just so you know. The glory of God filled the temple. The priests could not stand to minister. They came to arrest Jesus because they say on Christian radio, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where people fell backwards. If they ever did fall, it was forwards to worship God. Oh, really? Sorry that you bought a Bible on discount because somebody ripped John chapter 18 out. They weren't coming to worship Jesus. They were coming to arrest him. And he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. Capital I, capital A, capital M. And when he said, I am, they all fell to the ground. B-A-C-K-W-A-R-D-S. Mr. Professor that doesn't know how to read. So you let the Lord touch you tonight. Because if the fire of God will fill you, if you let God fill you with his fire, victory becomes like breathing. Before the problem arises, the Lord already gives you the solution. Before the devil has a chance to launch the attack, you already know it's coming. And there's a confidence in your spirit. Greater is he that lives in me. There's more with us than there are with them. Can you shout a living hallelujah? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, and you're like that guy in West Virginia. You're away from God. And when you get away from God in 2018, you're not just some agnostic. You get wrapped up in other things quick. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take 6 months before even an unsaved person knows something got a hold of me that if I don't get rid of that thing, I'm a dead man. There's no old heroin addicts. There's no old fentanyl addicts. There's no old prescription pill addicts. The devil's not looking to make your life sad. He's looking to kill you. And people can feel death closing in on them when they're outside of God. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you might have life. Everlasting life. Eternal life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you got saddled with something happened. I don't know what. That got you away from God. Nobody brought you to church when you were growing up in your house. But somebody, something brought you here tonight. The grace of God drew you. Did the crowd grow while I was preaching? This is wild. I'm telling you, this is going to be the best week you've ever had. Even if you don't want it to, it's too late. This will be the best week you've ever had and the worst week the devil's ever had in Central Maine. Can you say amen? I see whatever demons assigned to Central Maine getting called into the boardroom in hell and reprimanded severely, even after tonight, that he failed, that people are going to come out of this thing carrying a fire, that a new generation of Maine Pentecostal preachers are going to come out of this week and light the world on fire before Jesus returns. Hallelujah! If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you once did and fell away, and you know you need to do that right now, I want you to quickly put your hand up and wave it at me and we'll pray. Well, I like to give an invitation, but that's fine. I actually feel people will get saved, but these are revival meetings. You can't revive something that hasn't been vived at least once. And so it's God putting fresh life into his people who serve him, because the opposition never stops. People want to do things for God, and they've been pressed, and they need what Peter said, times of refreshing to come from the Holy Ghost. And God's going to give that to you right now. So the second part of my altar call, every person who's come here tonight with an expectation for God to fill you. My old night from when I was a teenager, my youth pastor, Pastor Dean Craig, just step out into the aisle, and your brother Vern that's up here in front, just come around and stand shoulder to shoulder with your brother Vern. Come back here. You just lift your hands right there. Wait for your brother. Just go back and stand shoulder to shoulder with your brother. Both of you lift your hands to the Lord. I saw you up front, Brother Vern, and I saw your brother come into the back, and I felt the Lord speak to me as clear as day that everything he spoke to you in training for the ministry and even when you were teenagers that you talked about, that we're going to do this and we're going to do this. It shall come to pass, and obviously quickly, for the time is short. So whatever discouragement tried to come in and make it like, well, I guess, you know, just be different than how I thought, it's actually not going to be different than how you thought. So rejoice and be glad. Doors begin to open even now, in Jesus' name. And the Lord will give you a blessing even for blessing me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, because I don't want this to be like I'm inciting. Just me and you. If you say, Jonathan, I came back tonight and won the victory over my flesh because I have an expectancy and a hunger for God to fill me with his power. Whatever I'm lacking in Christian life and service, I want it tonight. That's why I'm here, and that's why I stayed through a two-hour message. I want you to put your hand up right now as a sign to me and to God. This tall lady, look like one of Goliath's sisters. Just come right around. That's a compliment. Come right around. Power of God's all over you. Lift both hands. I may have to jump up to lay hands on you. That's fine. Lift your hands all the way up. I tell you, when you lifted your hand,
I saw the anointing come down on. There it is. And bubble up right now. In Jesus' name. There it is. Go ahead and speak that out. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Feel Jesus' mighty name. Here's how we're going to line everybody up. The whole band's up. I'm going to have you do a... I wish I could describe it. It was the song you were doing when I walked to the front. They always do it down at the river. Victor's Crown. I'm going to have you do that song. That's a great song. I texted your pastor today, Pastor Matt Ward. It is phenomenal what him and the Lord have built here in partnership. The presence of God in this church, like I told you this morning, the kind of service we had this morning normally takes till about Tuesday night at the earliest to have. People were ready. The pastor, Pastor Darcy and Pastor Matt, prepared you. You can feel it here. The worship team's anointed. You don't feel any ounce of showmanship or just feel the anointing. And you couple all those things together. And it being the end of September in Maine, which is probably, you know, end of September in Maine is one of the most beautiful places in the world, if not the most beautiful. Then it quickly changes in the next 60 days, but that's not where we're at right now. This has the setup to be the greatest week that you've ever had. And I'm going to tell you, you taking advantage of it like you did tonight, there are meetings, and this will be one of them, that you can point back to and say, in that meeting, the Lord did something to me, and I have never been the same. When I pray for you, that's what I'm praying. When I impart, that's what it's not like, oh, Lord, bless them. Give them a touch. No. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Can you be on fire and not know it? Can you guys keep me in prayer? I think I'm on fire. I feel a twinge of pain in my shoulder. It's been getting worse as the fire. No. When you're on fire, you know. This lady with the blonde hair and glasses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Blonde hair, glasses. Yep. Come right out to the aisle. Power, God's all over you. The other lady that's coming out, you have white hair and no glasses. No, it's a joke, but I mean. It's this lady. Lift both hands, close both eyes. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, not just her. When I lay hands on her, everybody, that your joy meter got low. It's going to bubble up again. You'll catch yourself laughing too much like me. In Jesus' name. I pray you have to answer questions like I have to answer. Aren't you ever serious?
Aren't you ever serious? Life can't be laughing all the time.
I beg to differ. Then were our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And the heathen declared, the Lord has done great things for them. What joy. Praise the Lord. Filled. There it is, right through you. In Jesus' mighty name. If you came here with an anticipation for the Lord to fill you with his fire, I want everybody to do just like we did this morning. Everybody that's in this side section that would like prayer, just line straight across the wall, shoulder to shoulder, on this far wall, if you're back to the wall. So if you're in this section, go there and bring your valuables with you. And then everybody that's in this center section, you can line up at the altar from half these stairs across, shoulder to shoulder. Everybody in this section, you can do it from these center stairs across. Don't get behind anybody. Don't bunch up. And then everybody in this side section, and I would encourage everybody to go and line up across this wall right here. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord's touching people even right now. You actually don't even have to wait till I get to you. God will touch you right even as you're waiting. It's happening right now. It's happening right now.
My new friend from Kenya, I know I already picked on you this morning, but go right out into the aisle. Just right there is fine. Lift both hands where you're at. Close both eyes. I'll just tell you the exact same thing I told you this morning. God's putting His fire in your spirit right now. You're going to go back to Kenya and shake up the religious order of things. I mean, even in like, you're not going to turn into a Kenyan Pentecostal in that system. You'll come up and breathe fresh life into it. In Jesus' name, with your hands lifted and your heart open, I loose that fresh endowment to minister the gospel without fear of people's faces or the voting board or whatever. Be filled. There it is. More fresh oil in Jesus' mighty name. That when you return, you will shake that nation. Don't ever let that leave your spirit. When God sends you to a nation, He sends you there to shake it. Not to repeat why it can't be shaken. Well, the people here are very, and there's many churches. And just go knock it out of the park. Every hand lifted. Jesus said, John chapter 7, verse 37, the Bible says on the last great day of the festival, Jesus shouted to the crowd with a loud voice, "Come unto me, all ye who are thirsty, and rivers of living water," everybody say rivers, "will flow out from within. But this spake he of the Spirit, who had not yet been given, but would be given to all who believe." And so there's something that belongs to you as a believer that God wants to fill you. Where rivers, where you don't have to go, "I need prayer. Keep me in prayer." No, rivers of living water will flow out from on the inside of you. You play the organ? You play that? That's great. You don't see too many people that can play. I'm glad. In Jesus' name, put your right hand on your belly and lift your left hand to the Lord. Say this out loud. Father, say it out loud. Father, thank you for filling me with rivers of living water that will never run dry. With your hand lifted and your right hand on your belly, if you're filled with the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. I'm not saying you have to scream in tongues, but pray out loud in the Spirit. And if you've not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, God will fill you right now. When I lay my hand on you, it'll start to bubble up from within, and you open up your mouth and begin to speak that language out in Jesus' name. A fresh baptism, a fresh anointing. Go ahead and sing, Sister Heather.
You overcome. You have a thing, yeah. every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's
crown. You wear. You overcome. You overcome. Yeah. And every high thing must come down.
Every stronghold shall be broken.
You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Hallelujah.
You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the
upon me. His anointing, it's empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and he's calling me to the heavenly, to be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven, just like heaven on earth, to be just like heaven, just like heaven. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I wanna see heaven, heaven on earth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Heaven, marching in the spirit of unity to our community, show his ability. The will of the Lord for his children is to demonstrate, perpetuate, and be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven, just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and favor and grace,
just like heaven,
just like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See his glory, feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See his glory, feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving,
something's changing. Miracles,
miracles,
sound and waters,
yeah.
to be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven, just like heaven. Oh, to be walking in favor and grace, oh, just like heaven. Calling for you to come high, to see everything from a new point of view, to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. From his perspective, everything's made new. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders, sound of many water, heaven on earth. There is lightning and thunder, miracles. Streams make land the city of our God. There is a river, streams make land the city of our God. But I will rejoice, so I will rejoice and be. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad.
There is a fountain so full of grace, and it flows from the land where it rains. There is a fountain so full of grace.
He came and he healed me. He came and refreshed me. He came and washed my sin away. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice.
God's will for your life for one step. This will not be plan B. You will fulfill what the Lord called you to do. So rejoice and be glad. You'll have fun doing it. Relax. In Jesus' name. Amen. Try to look more like you're from Western Massachusetts. It's like rural Massachusetts in the picture. Kelly, lift both hands. Close both eyes. As I've answered every one of your prayers, so shall I answer the rest. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands, other singer. Two positions are about to open up on the worship team. See like a second wave coming on you right now. Lift both hands. Whatever attack came against your body that you got through it, but it left like a took like a toll on you getting through it. The Lord restores everything that the treatments or medication messed with. So you'll feel like you're, when you wake up in the morning, be like you're 23. Everything restored. Both hands in the sanctuary. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Great I Am, Bright and Morning Star, Higher than the highest, Older than the oldest, Wiser than the wisest, Richer than the richest. You are great and greatly to be praised. We lift you up. With those hands lifted, open that mouth and just begin to magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name forever. What a great group of people. Phenomenal group of people. Thank you, Father, that your hand is on these right now. Every crooked way made straight. I don't know if I've already prayed for this lady in the green jacket. Come on, Aaron, just step right in the aisle. Did I lay hands on you already tonight? Step right up the aisle. Lift both your hands, close both eyes. Lift your hands and close your eyes. Power of God is all over you. Go right now. Fill you from the inside. There it is. You'll never be the same from tonight. Every issue of concern won't leave the sanctuary with you. Fill. There it is. Fresh anointing. Unless you use it, eat it without drawn butter, then who wants it? Jesus didn't come so, just give me one second. Jesus didn't come so we could endure life. Jesus came so we could enjoy life. Amen. I said amen. All your blood levels go to normal. Back to life. No! No! Jesus' name. Lift your hands one final time. If nothing else, you'll get a nice set of triceps out of the meeting. Just begin to open your mouth and thank God one more time. Or you can keep your hands down by your side and glare at me over in the left section. Whatever you'd like, it'll make a bit of difference to me. Just say this with your hands lifted. Thank you, Father, for days of heaven on earth. Life used to be a struggle. Life will no longer be a struggle. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Not might follow me. Will follow me all the days of my life. Tomorrow night, I'll say it, tomorrow night, I will return with a testimony of how the Lord has done great things. Say this out loud. These 24 hours are not permitted to pass without producing a testimony of God's favor as I walk the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name. Do one more thing and I'll leave you be. These three guys that are standing together, just lift your hands to the Lord. As God's knit you three together, the Lord anoints the three of you right now. As you chose to not go the way others have gone, but now you're going to go the other way. God's going to anoint you and use you even from your age now. You don't have to wait till you get old for God to use you. In fact, if you wait till you get old, you'll never get used. You start immediately. You can mark my words. Remember, I said it. The Lord's going to raise up. You're fine. The Lord's going to raise up child preachers. Not that you're children, but I'm saying the Lord's going to start raising up 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds. That the unction of the Holy Ghost will come on them and they'll start preaching whole services. It's already happening in Brazil. Happened in early Pentecost in the 50s, and it's going to happen again. This young lady in the black, white, with the red, lift both hands right there. Power of God's all over you. In Jesus' name, you're another one. You ain't going to wait till you get older for the Lord to use you. God will start using you even right now. Just follow the Holy Ghost. Say what He tells you to say. Do what He tells you to do, and then the next thing you know, you have a ministry. You don't get a 501c3 and then you're in the ministry. The Lord gives you a ministry and the next thing you know, you need to get a 501c3 just to take advantage of the finance stuff. Lift both hands, close both eyes. Father, I thank you for these three mighty men. As you've called them out of the other path and they obeyed, now anoint them to do damage to the kingdom of hell. To see their friends that don't have the slightest interest in the things of God. As they pray, as they're obedient to what you tell them to do, I thank you that they'll see all of them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that they'll fill roles. A great big hand clap. Tell the person next to you congratulations. And you can return to your seats other than you guys. Stay down.
Say it out loud. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. So tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Tuesday is at what, 11:15? 11:15 and 7 o'clock? And then Wednesday? 7. So 7 o'clock every night over at the Bible College. So if you come here and no one's here, don't fling yourself to the floor and start crying that you missed the rapture. However, if you head across to the Bible College and no one's there, fling yourself to the ground. Tear at your scalp with your fingernails and gnaw on your tongue because you've missed the rapture. Malachi 1:6. The Lord of hosts says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect that I deserve? You've shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? 7. You've shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of hosts. Go ahead. Beg God to be merciful to you, but when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of hosts. Listen to this, verse 10. How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors. Another translation, bolt the temple doors, so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, and I'll no longer accept your offerings. I'm only reading that because many people give in every offering, but they've never seen any kind of supernatural blessing because they've given a lot, as they were in Malachi 1:6 to 10, but they've never given a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. Ask Cain. God doesn't accept every offering. An offering has to be how the scripture says for it to be given. 2 Corinthians 9. Let each man give as he's directed by the Spirit. But then the Bible said this. Know this. He, in the same passage, he who sows sparingly, he who gives little baby offerings gets little baby harvest. But he who sows generously shall reap a generous harvest. What was God saying there? God was saying, you guys give all the time, but you offer me blind animals. So think of what they're doing. It's no different than how it is now in America. Oh yeah, I know it says in the law we're supposed to bring our best animal, but as soon as we get up there, they just slit its throat and kill it. They don't know. So go get the blind sheep and bring it. It's not a big deal. God knows you're, you know, it's just, it's all technicalities. And then Malachi, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give Malachi a big hug. Because people think chapter 3 was rough. Chapter 1 was like really rough. How I wish you would bolt the doors of the temple shut so I wouldn't have to look at these worthless offerings anymore. That's why Jesus stood up at the treasury and watched what everybody put in. And when they all got done, he said, just so all of you know, the only person out of all of you that gave something that mattered was this lady. Because all of you chipped off a little of your excess, but she has given everything she had. And so, you have to, when you give, make sure you're giving an offering that moves God. Notice God's thinking. He said, try giving an offering like that to your governor or one of your leaders and see what he says. So people put things in the offering that would be insulting to give to a person. I've seen people get put like 2 wrinkled ones in the offering. Would you walk up to a person and say, hey, I heard it's your birthday. Happy birthday. Here's $2. They think like you're joking. Hey, you're funny. Now you want to give an offering like that to a person. But when you start to get a mentality like they had in Malachi 1, oh, you know, it's God's invisible. When you get a realization that offering time is to give in faith and out of worship to God, that you give, what does Proverbs 3 say? The secrets of the richest man who ever lived. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And the best part, everybody say best part. Best part of everything you produce. Then will your vats overflow with wine and your barns overflow with grain. So if you're waiting for me to tell you how much money we need to get home, let me just tell you. You know how much I paid for our plane tickets to get up here? Because if you do, let me know, because I don't. I don't even look at it. The Lord has been good to us. I didn't borrow any money from the Gambino family to get to Maine. So when I get back to Pittsburgh, I don't have to pay anybody back. Everything's fine. So if you're waiting for an evangelist that's a traveling beggar, hey, we have this need coming up, and if you guys could help us, the Lord's my help. He said, I thought you were receiving an offering. I am. But this is not PBS, where you give to please keep Big Bird on the air. You're to give as directed by the Spirit,
with a knowledge. Isn't it interesting? In 1 Kings 17, Elijah never mentioned anything about his ministry to the widow. He never said, I want to have a revival in Syria, and so when you feed me, it'll enable me to go and preach. All he did was talk to her about her. And generally, that's what you're going to find in the Bible. God actually said, if I had a need, would I ask you? If God has a need, we're in trouble. When my daughter was 3, would I say, Camila, our rent payment's coming due, and you know, you use a lot of the electricity and stuff, so your dad needs help. No father troubles his children with the needs of the house. Not a proper father anyway. A father provides for his children. That's what God does. So the offering is not to help God. The Bible says, God has no needs. He fills all in all. Say this with me. Say, God's not in need. Yeah. His throne is not from Aaron's furniture, and if he doesn't pay the minimum this month, the throne gets repossessed. He paved with gold. He used stones to build the fence. So when you give, you actually should give with an expectation.
Well, we don't give to get.
Our motivation is not getting. But we expect to receive because God's not a liar. And he said, so don't act like you have like a higher thought train than God. I know he said he'd receive, but whether I ever receive or not, I don't care. Well, you're stupid. The less money you have, the less you can do. The more money you have as a righteous man, the more people you can bless. I don't need all that. That's the point. If you can live on $60,000 and you get $1 million, you now have $940,000 to say, Lord, show me where you would like me to do maximum damage to the kingdom of hell with this. And life gets very fun, very fast. Can you say amen? So ask the Lord tonight. And if you're not prepared tonight, you only brought a wrinkled up 1 in 5. Ask the Lord before these meetings are over, what would represent your best? And sow that. And sow it with an anticipation, like Elijah said. Make for me first. Make for you first. I'm a single mother and we have one meal left. For thus saith the Lord, the cruse of oil and the jar of flour will not fail the entirety of the famine if you'll give your best to the Lord. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 17:16, in the first version of the New Living Translation, no matter how much she used, there was always plenty left over. And I want to tell you, when you get to that place, it's fun. That you don't have to check how much you have. You just know. You stay in obedience with what God has you doing. Things expand. The money shows up before it's time to expand. You're never playing from behind. Abraham didn't play from behind. Isaac didn't play from behind. They played from ahead. Before the need arose, the provision was there. And when you honor God with your best, he said, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great, the only problem you'll ever have is having enough room to take it all in. Try it and let me prove it to you. I tried it and he proved it. We had one guy give an offering of $1.1 million in a church of 200 people. And PNC Bank called our ministry office and said, we need you to not use the bank that you use anymore. That branch isn't equipped to handle deposits of that size. We need you to use the downtown branch, and we need to talk to you about opening up other accounts to put that money in, because you shouldn't put all that in a checking account. Well, I never had that problem before. I used to have the bank call for the other reason. Jonathan, we're not running a charity to give money to people in need through overdrafts. Please make a deposit. So when you start putting God first in your giving and giving proper offerings, the Lord will locate you. Look at what, now we'll receive the offering, but just look at this. Anytime you receive an offering, you got three groups of people. You have people that already left. They're happy to not give. In fact, if you announce, we're not going to receive an offering, they go, good, he didn't even take an offering. They look at offering as a tax. They look at offering as the Lord taking from them. Every time you go take an offering, you hear several children cry and the parents leave. And half of the parents, it's because they pinched the child till it cried so they could leave during the offering. That's a statistical fact. 50% on the money. And then you have a second group of people that stay and give, but they've never asked the Holy Spirit what to give. You always have people come up to ministers. Pastor, how much is that new project going to cost? They've never asked the Lord what to give. They always just want to pay for stuff. So with a guy like me, it gets confusing for him because I'm not telling you I need this much. But then you have a third group of people that ask the Lord, what would you have me give? knowing when he asks you for your best, it's not to take from you. It's so that he can put it in his hand and multiply it back to the giver. And if you'll come on that adventure this week, you will be happy. That's why when we come back to a church the second time, the offering's bigger than the first time. There's not a bunch of people waiting in the parking lot to beat me up and say, you tricked me out of my money. They say, Jonathan, you wait till I get a chance to tell you what happened this last year since the revival meeting for our business or our family. God will bless you. I said, God will bless you. The offering's not to extract money from you. The offering's to get money to you. And when you give, you prove money does not have a place in your heart, only in your hand. Can you say amen? So if you're making out a check, you make it out to Charleston Church, and you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. Make a comma like this. Amen? Please welcome the handsomest and best pastor in all of Central Maine, Pastor Matt Ward, as he ties up any loose ends, and I'll see you tomorrow night. Give Jesus a great big hand clap.